think it's going. We are recording.
Okay.
Pat, take it away.
It is October 24th, 2019. This is the fourth quarter meeting for the Animal Control Advisory Board. We will start with introductions. I'm Pat Vitches. I represent CATS, and I'm the chair.
Holly Blosser. I represent animal rescue groups.
Kyle Schicchetti, no domestic animals.
Charlene Miller, member at large.
And animal business owner.
Christy Novick, veterinarian.
Tabitha Duggar, dog owner.
Lynn Parker, vice chair at large.
I'm Susan Anderson with animal control.
Ariel Young, animals other than dogs or cats.
Okay, and our minutes are always auto-recorded, so they are already there for last month, so we have no need to approve them. And I don't see anybody here except us, so I think that we have no public, so we can just go into board business. So first we want to welcome Tabitha to the board. She's our new dog owner.
Yay.
Member.
Welcome.
So it's nice to have a new face. And then the reappointment for Kyle and I is next on the agenda, so how are we working that?
Yes, so both of you expressed interest in being reappointed for your existing seats, and so we had no applications that came in for any of the five postings that we had last time around.
Susan, where does it post, just out of curiosity?
It's on the website, and it goes out in a press release.
Okay.
Yes, so that being the case, I was just going to open it up to the rest of the board for discussion if there's any reason that they wouldn't reappoint you to your seats, then you're...
I move to reappoint Pat Vitches and Kyle Schicchetti to their previous positions.
I might make just a comment that, and I told Susan this, my son has expressed an interest in a dog, and we haven't moved that forward. But if that should happen, then I would, of course, have to resign my position. But sure. For the time being...
But you are no domestic animals.
No domestic animals.
But there is an at-large position open.
Well.
So, in theory, you could swap positions.
Yeah, but you would have a harder time filling the no dog spot, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily.
No?
No.
No harder.
Well, then I'd leave that to the group to decide whether they wanted to.
Not everybody is a
dog
owner.
That position go up.
Oh, but they should be.
Yeah,
no, they should all be cat owners.
That's currently, you would be appointed to your current position. That position would go out for...
We'll have to repost.
Repost?
The
in which case,
three that would now be
right.
Open. Or in which case, throw your resume into that one.
Okay.
As which potentially other citizens might as well.
Sure.
And... Or we don't typically get a lot of resumes.
No.
And then we'll see what happens.
All right.
But in the meantime, you would be reappointed to your current position.
Sounds good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Well, that was easy. So we have the three positions to fill. Veterinarian, because Dr. Novick is not going to continue on with us. Member at large, be Lynn, who's not continuing on, and Stephanie, who is not here this evening. So those were posted. You didn't get any applications, and so you're going to repost them like the 1st of November again, or what?
As soon as I can get to it. I'm hoping by mid-November.
Okay.
It's just a very bad time of year.
It is. It's a really bad time.
It's tough.
We don't have another meeting till the end of January, but still at the same time, it would be nice to have at least one of those positions, if not all of them, have, you know, some candidates that we could interview before then. But it could happen in...
It's a bad time of year to interview people.
It is.
It's a bad time of year for people to decide to commit.
It is.
It's really tough.
It is. So.
We did receive several applications for the last dog owner seat vacancy that we had. The board recommended Tabitha. I think they only interviewed three people total.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple other applicants that weren't available for the interviews. but
can
that had some
those?
Interest. I can. I'll check into it and see if there's any problem with procedurally with doing that. But we do. So we do have some interested folks, kind of that were set aside after the last dog
owner.
Still
have to put out on the website as well.
I would think so.
Yeah,
so
I would think you'd still have to repost it.
Well, we'd have to recontact those people and still see if they still have an interest.
Well, and see if, well, because one, they would definitely fit for member at large, but then see if they.
They were not veterinarians.
No, they weren't veterinarians, and they weren't livestock owners. So,
and I don't recall the livestock.
The only one that they would fit for would be member at large. So, if Kyle wanted to go for that position, it would be.
Well, a livestock owner, does it have to be only livestock and not anything else?
They have to have some form of livestock.
Right. So. In theory, one of those dog people could be a livestock owner.
Well, that's possible, yeah.
Right.
What's the definition of livestock?
It has to be horses or cattle or...
The definition is in there.
It's in there somewhere, but yeah, it's...
It includes pigs, I mean, pretty much anything that's not a house pet. Not a house pet, basically.
So technically, she would have qualified as livestock.
Livestock.
So... Because you've got chickens.
That is true.
Goats today.
Goats.
So there you go.
So the definition out of Chapter 8 of Clark County Code, livestock means any equine, mule, burro, dairy, or beef cattle, llama, goat, sheep, swine, rabbit, domestic hare, donkey, camelid, and poultry. So chickens even would qualify.
All of the above.
I'm surprised the rabbits are in there. Because they're usually house pets.
And we pay the shelter as if they were house pets for lodging them.
Well, and they normally are house pets anymore. I mean,
sometimes chickens are house pets too.
Well,
people don't have rabbit farms like they used to.
It might be part of a state definition that they just
copy. Yeah, it could be. I think it was kind of dated, maybe.
I think you post the three and we see what happens.
So
And the next scheduled quarterly meeting is not until January 23rd,
right.
So we do have some time.
But
I'm willing. You all are the ones responsible for interviewing any candidates, so I'm wanting to hear from you as far as scheduling what you'd like to do and all.
Well, first we have to have somebody to interview.
That's true.
So,
That's true. Well, I can reach back out to the applicants for previous vacancies if you'd like to gauge their interest and let you know.
I think that makes sense, and I think that's fair.
Do you have the notes from the people we interviewed? Because we had another really good candidate from the last interview session.
Well, the other one that she thought would be good is the other one that was not available the night that we interviewed.
No, we did interview another one that we liked.
Right, but there was also another one that we did not interview that was thought to be good.
Okay.
So there's a couple of possibilities there. And I did not keep the personal notes that the board members on the subcommittee took. I just summarized those into some meeting minutes to post on the website.
Okay.
So by website, we're talking about the Clark County Animal Control website.
Correct.
Do we have other means of, getting that out? Facebook, something like that.
It goes in the newspaper.
It goes in the
It goes out in a press release. We don't have an active Facebook page or haven't had time to really get the social media going. I believe it was posted on Clark County's, it might have been actually on Clark County's Facebook page. Clark County as
a whole has
social media accounts. So
I only ran across it because I had to utilize the website. That's why I'm asking, because if people aren't aware,
I would have never seen it
had
somebody from my neighborhood not posted it on the Nextdoor.
Mm-hmm. And that's why
I've actually actively reached out on Nextdoor. So someone was posting on Nextdoor, and I thought they might be a decent candidate. I actually called them and said, "You seem knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. Please consider when we go out to post our upcoming vacancies, consider applying." And she said, "I'll think about it. Thank you for letting me know.
Word of mouth is fine.
Yeah, okay, so we are allowed on our personal Facebook pages to
let people know
that it's available. Okay. Yeah, that'll help.
great. The more we can get the word out, the better, because the better
chance.
So
we can put it on our business pages, too?
Getting on your business pages?
Not on my home page, but on my Facebook page.
I'm not an expert on the rules governing social media, but I can ask.
I can ask
the communications. The county has a communications department that...
Okay, well, I'm happy to put it there.
Kind of has to green light all that kind of stuff, so I'll make myself a note to reach out to them and let everybody know on the board.
Yeah, cause I know I've seen other posts from county staff about county events, so if they could start posting those kind of things.
I think there's nothing wrong with sharing
it.
Okay. I think potentially the murky water gets in, explaining, you know, pushing our role in that. I'm on the board and I want you to be on the board.
Yeah.
You know,
I wouldn't do that.
You know, but if you're saying there are some vacancies.
Yeah.
And
just as a source of information,
and,
right, yeah.
Just a,
and
a
anybody,
general thing,
right?
Not like you're my friend, so apply for this job.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Anybody can apply, and
yeah, you just don't want to give anyone a sense that they might have a leg up,
right?
On
right.
Candidates.
Anybody can apply.
Right.
And this is, you know, this is the website. Then, you know. I think that's fine.
And I personally wouldn't do it. Somebody else would do it. So.
Right.
Because I
ask
think
the
when
question.
It's just on
okay.
the county
let
website,
let you
know.
Do it. If,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't see it because mm-hmm. nobody's looking at the county website. And
on a daily basis.
Right. And not very many people.
Come on.
Even I
well,
barely,
not a lot of people
barely.
Read the newspaper either. So,
right.
You know, it's just you need more
it.
Places now because
yeah,
people are getting their information from a wide variety of sources mm-hmm. instead of just the paper
right.
or, you know.
Okay.
And there are so many small communities within the big I'm part of livestock boards, specifically livestock boards or dog boards. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
tons.
I think it would be good to, just post about it. Like you said, share the website.
Nothing like the same as if you just literally printed out the website and
copy and paste the press release.
Exactly.
Copy and paste the press release and stuck it on your work.
That's exactly
board.
What we do.
It's what you would do.
Yeah.
Then without saying,
page.
Like, mm-hmm. Susan, you should totally apply.
Right.
Then I think then that would be.
And certainly, Dr. Novick, if you know of any other veterinarians practicing in the county
definitely.
That might
yep.
be
yep.
interested in participating.
We had two last year
great.
That applied.
Yeah.
I can't remember. No.
Oh.
I don't remember.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One was retired. I don't remember the other one's qualifications.
Yeah. Does it say on the qualification list, do they have to be a practicing veterinarian, or are they allowed to be a retired?
No,
okay.
they don't have to be practicing.
They don't have to be practicing?
I don't think so.
Not the kids.
Well, they have to be licensed.
It says one who is a licensed veterinarian who practices in Clark County.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that sounds like an active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to be active. That's what I thought it said. But,
okay.
Yeah. Although... I suppose the board could always propose bylaw changes, including that it would include opening up to retired veterinarians if you so chose to do that.
Well, some retired veterinarians are just keeping their foot in the door working a couple days a week for somebody, too, to keep their license and keep, you know, going without having their own practice or anything, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that could work for somebody like that.
Well, they're still doing that, then they're still licensed
to practice. That's what I mean. But they're not, working, you know, a full-time position.
But they'd still qualify now.
Right.
We wouldn't even have to change anything.
No,
for that.
No, we wouldn't.
Is the licensed requirement in the code, or is it just in the bylaws?
I believe should be mirrored in the code as well.
So that would make it harder to amend the bylaws.
That's true. Let me double check.
I don't know. To me, it kind of makes sense
that
they should be licensed, a licensed vet, rather than some customer that retired 10 years ago, because then they don't have any connections with the community of veterinarians, which is ultimately the purpose of them being on the board. So that seems like it would be defeating the purpose. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it does. They're the same. The code and the bylaws are the same.
Okay. Well, then we'll just wait for you to repost, and we'll just go from there, and when you get some applicants, you can let us know, and then...
And talk about when people are available.
And see
interview.
When everybody's available.
Sounds
and,
good.
And it may be January before that happens, you know?
Sure.
But if it is, it is. Okay. Well, moving on. We have election of officers for next year, and Susan made us these lovely little ballots. They're so official. They're very nice. So... if everybody wants to fill out their ballot.
Pat, I'm sorry.
Oh.
With
go
your,
back.
What's your name? Kyle.
Kyle's, sorry.
Kyle's potential changing role, are we advertising the positions as they are here, or are we amending what we're advertising for because he's going to shift?
I don't think you'd change anything, do you? You just advertise the at-large.
We're just electing a chair and a vice chair.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about
no,
that.
No, she's going back.
Oh.
But I think what we...
What are we advertising for?
I think we have to advertise the same three. And if Kyle chooses to change, then he has to submit an application for the for the other position. We can't just slide him into it without...
And then that position then...
And then his position would be open. So if she advertises for the member at large and nobody applies except for Kyle, well, then he could get that position, and then his position would go back out with the other two positions if nobody applied for them. Does that make sense?
Makes absolutely no sense, but that's fine. As long as you know what you're advertising for, that's all good. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But.
Do you want me to try again?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, so the officers. Everybody has this sheet of paper.
Yes.
So we have the names on here, so we're turning our ballots in for a chair and a co-chair. So I think we could just put like a C for chair and a CC for co-chair?
You check two names and most votes is chair and the other is co-chair.
Oh, that's how it works? Is it say that on here?
What if people don't want to do
that's
it?
That's the way we did it last year.
I think
we talked about what the requirements of the positions are.
Of course.
And who are the current? Yes,
I am the chair.
Okay.
And Lynn is the co-chair, and Lynn will no longer be here next year. Okay. So
we've got to elect both.
So
yes, well, this is for 2020,
right.
So it would start first of the year in 2020.
So.
Does our chair wish to continue on?
Yes, our chair would continue on.
I would like to be chair. I would like to nominate myself for chair. I feel like since 2017, I've worked really hard to update this board to get us more in line with current law. And I feel like we're making a lot of progress. In that. And recently I've had a chance to talk to Pat and Susan about some ideas that I have that if I were chair or co-chair, that preferably chair, sorry, that I think if I could implement, I think it would make us more effective and a more active board and more respected potentially by citizens and, more importantly, the Board of Commissioners. And I think I could do that as a chair. And I'm pretty well, I have a pretty good grasp on what the roles of a chair would be. So I'd like to nominate myself. So
would anybody else like to make a nomination of themselves or somebody else?
Question answered.
Not yet.
You asked what a chair does.
Yeah, right. What are the roles of the two positions and how do they relate?
At its core, the chair's responsibility is to run the meetings. And so it's to help the meetings stay on track and to, you know, this board is supposed to run according to Robert's Rules of Order. And so the chair is supposed to help keep that in progress. And if sometimes it feels like our board is maybe a little bit more like a discussion, and less, and so we end up spending a lot more time working through what we're trying to decide, and a chair can help keep that conversation a little more clear so that we can get decisions made quickly and get out the door and get home to our families, which is ultimately, of course, what we want to do. But in addition, I think a really effective chair is going to be working with each of the board members and Susan ahead of time to help make sure that we have things like a really clear agenda, and so that we're walking in with the information that we need ahead of time so that we know what decisions we need to make early, and so that Susan has the information and the guidance that she needs to do her job, and we have the information we need to give her the guidance she needs. And that has to happen before the meetings so that the discussions can just be decisions made here quickly, so we can make them, pass motions, yes or no, and get in, get out of the door, and get home. That's what a chair does. And a co-chair helps with that process if the chair is sick or unable.
Then they take over. And typically, I think a part of what Ariel is trying to say too, or is saying, is that she wants to move the board on into a more polished way of doing things, because in the past we've been kind of willy-nilly. There hasn't been as much structure. It's just kind of the way it's always been, and we never really had any control over that.
Which isn't bad. It's just
the way it was.
The way it was.
And so we're trying to evolve, I think, into something a little bit different.
I can support that. I am a person who really likes to have structure and get things done and know what's happening before we get here, and I felt a little bit unsure at times, you know, how to most inform the board. So I'm really looking forward to that, however it comes about. So,
well, it's been in the past, over many years, not just recent past, but over many years, it's been just kind of, when you showed up for a meeting, you had no idea what was going on until you got your agenda. You know, we weren't given a lot of information or responsibility or anything. So we're trying to move on into something different.
Pat and I used to be the most head-to-head individuals on this board, most polar opposite. And if we can evolve, we can help this board evolve, I swear.
Thank you.
So whether it's chair, co-chair, chair, however you vote, I think we would be a good leadership team.
We see things from different points of view, but we've gotten to know each other well enough now that we can understand each other. I didn't mean to poke you. Each other's points of view, and it's
actually
pretty amazing.
It's working really
well. It's working very well, yes. Yes. Did anybody else have anything they wanted to ask or nominate anyone or...
Or say, please don't
check my name.
Please don't check my name. I'm going to be the president of the Bar Association next year.
Oh, are you?
And so
that's a big job.
I don't
job.
Need anything more. Yeah. Plate, so don't go for me.
That's a big job.
Yeah.
For Washington or Oregon?
Washington.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very cool. Okay, I guess then we're ready to put X's so we can... Just put our X's and fold it in half and give it to Susan?
Yes.
And
I'll
So we just check and check? Is that how we do it?
It worked great last year to do it that way.
Yeah, and the person with the most votes is the chair, and the second most votes is the co-chair.
If there's a tie, do they get to figure out?
Arm wrestle.
Arm wrestle.
Yeah, we'll have a little fight.
Thank you. Thank you.
And here.
Here.
Sorry. Everybody, you have everybody's now?
Didn't count them, but I got them all.
Got them all?
Okay.
Okay. Then I guess we can move on from the next for that. We're discussing the advisory board bylaws and duties, and I think Susan wanted to go over these particular things that everybody should have a copy of, the two handouts.
Correct. And to kind of naturally tag on to what you're just talking about the roles and responsibilities of the board. If there's anybody here that has not had a chance to review the bylaws, or it's been a while since you reviewed the bylaws, I encourage everybody to give those a read and familiarize yourself, or just kind of jog your memory. If we go to section two, well, talk about the purpose. Section two goes into the duties by code, and then section three goes into duties other, was what I was wanting to talk about a little bit. And I am very supportive of this board taking a more active role and kind of steering its own bus more than it has in the past year since I've taken on the role as of manager of animal control. And I couldn't be more enthusiastic about that possibility. And just really see my role on the board as an advisory person, along with Lisa Fader from the Humane Society, who's not able to be here tonight. But both of us are kind of here on the periphery. If you have any technical questions about the shelter or about the program at the county, then that's our role. And then I do some of the coordination of the meetings and filling vacancies and just kind of the paperwork side of it, organization, which if the board could take any of that off my plate, I'd be happy to let that go as well. But just to get into the duties technically a little bit, one of the main duties this board has is to advise the Clark County Board of Counselors on animal code and animal policies in Clark County and the City of Vancouver, because we do cover both of those main jurisdictions. Chapter 8, or Title 8 in Clark County Code, is the animal law for unincorporated Clark County. And Chapter 8.24 in the Vancouver Municipal Code is the animal law for the city limits of Vancouver. While they both have a lot of similarities, they also have some key differences that can be very challenging for enforcement for the officers. And we always have to make sure that we really read the code carefully, depending on which area we're working in, because it could be a little difference in the code language that makes quite a bit of difference for enforcement in either the city or the unincorporated areas. So I also encourage members of the board to take some time reading both of those codes and becoming familiar with those different sections. It covers everything animal related, essentially, from pet licensing, facility licensing, wild animal licensing, and then moving on to the enforcement pieces, everything from nuisances to animal cruelty, to everything that we deal with in our program and trying to keep people and animals safe and healthy in our community. So in any questions, I'm definitely a good source of information if you have questions about the code. We're talking, like I said, about doing some updates to the code and eventually doing some more involved changes to the code. And so it would be this board's role to make recommendations to the county counselors for changes that you would like to see in the code that you think would better serve the people and animals of our community. So that's one of the main duties. Going on from there, You also serve as a hearing tribunal for appeals. So when officers write tickets for violations of the code, either in the city or the county, the people that receive the ticket have the right to appeal the ticket, kind of like you any civil infraction ticket, if anyone's gotten a parking ticket or a any kind of traffic ticket, speeding, what have you. You can appeal it. You can send in a written explanation. You can request to talk to the judge to try to get your fees or your fines reduced. And so it's the same thing with the tickets that officers write for animal control. The folks have a right to appeal. And if they agree with the facts of the case, but want to explain maybe what happened, some circumstances, and get their fine reduced, because they can add up fairly quickly if there's multiple violations, then they would submit their explanation, and this board would review the explanations and rule on whether or not you agree to reduce the fees or uphold them in totality. So that's another purpose for the board that's important. And then it says other duties as authorized by the Board of Clark County Councilors. I'm not quite sure what that would entail. Has that ever come up before? I'm looking at.
Oh, I looked that one up.
Subsection C of Section 2.
Yeah, we've never really had any interaction with.
It could be public outreach, I suppose, yeah. Could fit into that category.
It could, yeah.
So if the board feels that boosting pet licensing or picking up dog waste or whatever issue is maybe not being addressed or is becoming a problem in the community, the board may decide to put together a public outreach campaign to address whatever that said issue is. That's a possibility. Public education, kind of along those same lines, with any kind of animal-related issue concern.
Well, that would be kind of like the brochure that I did.
Mm-hmm. The one that we hand out at the.
Yeah. You saw the brochure that I made, and mm-hmm. then it kind of, I don't know where it's happened to it. It's kind of.
Yes, it's in the stack of documents that all need to be updated.
Yeah.
To the new format, which is kind of this form is kind of an example.
Yeah, it looks, it's a little different looking.
Yes.
I noticed that.
Yes. Yeah. So that's, the county has kind of adopted the official style. And so all of our public documents have to go through the style, generator, which is one person for community development. Believe it or not, only one person is responsible for updating everything.
If you would like that updated, I mean, I would be happy to do that updating. I mean, because I have it all on my computer, so I can, you know, if you want to use the document, I can do the updating.
You can take the style guide and apply the style guide.
I can do all that. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And we have all those notices in veterinary offices, mm-hmm. and the little stands mm-hmm. about licensing your pet.
Yeah.
And they're in every veterinary office.
Yeah.
In Clark County. Because Liz and I did that.
How long ago was that? Do you recall? A
year and a half.
Oh, okay.
2 years.
Not bad.
No, I think it's been more than 2 years, hasn't it?
Has it?
Yeah. I think that was like 3 years ago you did that.
It was a while ago.
It was like, yeah.
Because I know we did them all, and then we had to go out and update them all again.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And then I think the first time
they
through
were
was about 3 years ago.
Too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're still in the veterinary office I go to, so I'm assuming you're still.
We have them.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I think they're in my vet's office too.
Yeah.
Yeah, those.
The last
those
time
great.
I was in there, I think I remember seeing them.
Yeah, those green things.
So we have done some
great
outreach things like that before.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
But we could always do more.
Sure. And that kind of covers the purpose and the duties of the board. So very, very important stuff. And that's really all I wanted to share on that.
That's all
that topic.
Sharing
and
on that.
Answer any questions that I could if anybody had any.
Okay. I'm not sure what the tribunal ruling for contested nuisance tickets.
That's what she just, I think, talked about. topic?
No, I did not touch on that quite yet.
No, you did not touch on that.
So, a little more specific on that.
Yeah, a little more specific is what you wanted to share.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share that the Director of Community Development, Mitch Nichols, I know that he's supportive kind of in a general way of different types of appeals of code violation citations, so whether it be code enforcement, building, animal control. He's would like to start moving in a direction where some kind of a board of citizens is hearing more of those types of appeals. So for this group, I was just going to throw out there and have you guys kind of think about it, maybe talk about it at a later time, whether or not you might be interested in hearing not just the written appeals that we receive, people wanting to get their fines reduced, but also helping us with hearings for nuisance type appeals, maybe with noise violations, the noise violations and noise complaints that we get.
Are you talking code enforcement ones then?
No, this would be for barking dogs mostly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of barking dog complaints all year round, mostly jumps up in the summer, but there's some people that their neighbor's barking dog is kind of the bane of their existence and really, really bothersome to them, really annoying. And so the code does quantify how much barking is legal, and it's really tough for us to prove a barking dog violation. But anyway, so we can issue citations for noise violations for barking dogs. We don't do it very often. We try to get the neighbors to kind of work together to come to a resolution most of the time. It doesn't always happen. So we can issue the ticket if we get an appeal for a barking dog violation or another nuisance type violation. I think it was actually one of the officers that brought up the suggestion that the board would be willing to hear both sides of a nuisance violation if there is an appeal for something like that. Just kind of as a lower level violation, we wouldn't be bringing, you know, animal cruelty cases in here for you to hear or that kind of thing, but just an idea to float out there as a way of saving some money for the hearings examiner, just because
the hearings examiner is listening to now?
If there's a contested ticket, yes.
Okay.
Those go to the hearings examiner, and those cost us about $1,000 per.
Wow. Yeah,
so.
we could probably do a barking dog. Yeah.
Very, very.
A lot of the things
expensive.
The hearings examiner does would not be appropriate.
Say 4 month period.
Well, I'd probably go back to 2017 to get numbers for you. 18 and 19, just because of the unanticipated staffing changes, are not good representations of typical years, but I can pull maybe 15 through 17.
That'd be great.
Something like that.
It might be nice to know whether or not we need to plan for additional meetings, and if so, how many?
Okay.
Within a quarter.
Okay.
Is there a time frame on when those have to be done, or is it like the ones that we've already been listening to, we just do them at the next meeting? Or do these have to be done in a more timely fashion?
It would be up
fashion?
For the board to decide how you wanted to do that. Quarterly meetings, there's some obvious constraints with only meeting quarterly.
Right.
Again, for the board to decide.
Well, yeah, we used to meet monthly, but that was in another era.
Yeah, and you could extend or increase the number of meetings you have or the number of hearings that you schedule. We would just have to make sure that we did public notification of any public meetings that were scheduled and get that word out ahead of time.
If we were doing this, but our meetings might require a meeting a little more frequently, but if our meetings were shorter, but we were hearing these tribunals, we might be able to, you know, wrap up and have shorter meetings, but more frequently.
But sometimes the meetings seem like they are short because there's not a lot going on, and other times the meetings, there's more things happening, and the meetings tend to be longer, and we don't always have control over that. But maybe we, if there was a lot of appeals, we could just do a separate meeting for it.
That is an option.
Or if legwork were getting done prior to the meeting, So just decisions could be made in the meeting and we can get straight to the point. Mm-hmm. We can see how it would go.
Different ways to do it. There's, different options.
And
yeah.
Without knowing what the numbers would be, or if we're hearing five, mm-hmm. two, mm-hmm. or 20.
Does it,
who knows?
It peaks in the summer and then kind of dies in the winter?
For the barking, it peaks in the summer, definitely.
Yeah. And then.
And all complaints.
All the nuisance complaints.
Yeah.
All the nuisance things complain mm-hmm. or peak in the summer.
Everybody's mm-hmm. windows are open.
Yeah.
Right.
Light later.
So that would just be the heavy time. Probably the winter wouldn't be a problem, probably. Probably. Right. But we don't, we'd want to see numbers to know.
Okay. I'll pull those together as soon as I can.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Code updates to Title 8.
Yes.
That's you, Susan.
I had sent out a draft of code update proposals. The code update process, and this is actually kind of a combination of code updates, which are minor changes to the code, versus code revisions or additions to the code, which is a lengthier public process. So I'm compiling a list of for feedback on a variety of issues, both code cleanup, minor stuff, as well as fee changes, fee increases, and some actual language changes to the code. And I just wanted to get that out to everybody and answer any questions that anybody had on this.
Is this stuff that you want us to, approve so that you can go on to the commission?
Did you want this done tonight, or did you want us to take this?
No, not tonight. Just in case, tonight, if you had any questions that had come up, if you'd reviewed it over the last couple of days, anything like that, or had any clarifying questions for me.
I was wondering, do you want us to approve these so that this can go on to the commissioners before our next meeting?
I'm not looking for approval tonight. No, not necessarily.
Pass motions on them, and then so that can be done.
I don't know if you've had enough time to really make an educated.
Yeah. Can I?
I wasn't expecting that. No, I'll answer.
Can I ask a question on here?
Of course.
Animal control fund. There, mm-hmm. I know it used to say animal control fund and does not exist my understanding is that's because all the payments now are going to Seattle for everything and there's a different company handling all that and that's why there's no animal control fund any longer or am I not correct?
No, we have a contractor that processes renewal payments mm-hmm. that is located in Seattle. What this is referring to is just kind of an old, antiquated code section that doesn't apply anymore because the specific animal control fund went away years ago.
Was that part of the county budget?
Yes. So talking about, so any revenue that comes into the program in the name of animal control, so licensing revenue, it does not go into a dedicated animal fund, and it hasn't for a long time, but for some reason this remained in the code. So all the revenue that comes in for licensing, fines, anything we collect actually goes into the county's general fund. So we are a total general fund program.
Everything goes into the big pot
mm-hmm. for the county versus a special specific.
So it seems like some of these
fund.
We could discuss and push on so that you can take these forward if you wanted. Right?
You could.
Yeah, I mean.
So shall we take these one at a time real quick?
There's not that many.
So we could open them up, read them, discuss them, mm-hmm. and either decide whether or not we want to pass them or not. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I think if we
let's do it.
Let's do what we can.
Okay.
And if it takes too long, we don't get through them, at least we've got to start. So the first one, animal shelter definition. Do we know how it read before? Do you have that? So it has edit to read, but
yes.
What is the exact change that is in here?
I can.
Mm-hmm.
in our book.
I neglected to grab mine.
Okay, so the current definition of animal shelter says animal shelter means a facility which is used to house or contain stray, homeless, abandoned, or unwanted animals, and which is owned, operated, or maintained by a public body, an established humane society, animal welfare society, society for the prevention of cruelty to animals, or other nonprofit organization devoted to the welfare, protection, and humane treatment of animals.
So you're just taking out some of the wordiness and replacing it with private, public, and nonprofit.
Correct. And my director asked that we change the word devoted to purpose of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't catch that one.
Kind of at the tail end of the definition there. And the idea, kind of like the large in caps notations at the end of each of these proposed updates just kind of gives you the reasoning or the rationale mm-hmm. for making the change. This one is to try to get inspections or get eyes on any facility that calls itself an animal rescue or an animal shelter. Those are not right. currently required to be registered or inspected by the county at this point. And what happens with some of them, unfortunately, is that they get away from the person and they end up as a cruelty situation. And so the idea of making this more general and including more types of facilities is to try to prevent some of those kind of horrific situations that ends up being a big enforcement issue for us and costing the taxpayers more money.
So you're not intending it to affect people that do fostering on behalf of these agencies?
No. Okay. No, unless, well, let me, I guess if they were large enough.
This doesn't say that.
Potentially it doesn't, true.
Well, I'm reading it as the facility, whether private, with the purpose of, and I think someone's private home who fosters one or two rescues here and there is not a facility for the purpose.
General purpose is not to do
yeah. Right, so to me, I feel like that's, from a code, seems clear enough to consume.
Or if it's, but if it's someone who has built an outbuilding on their property specifically for housing animals like that, then I think is when it starts crossing over.
If it's a, mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that's when your enforcement team would then have a conversation or be able to inspect or whatever.
Yeah, unless
determine if they were.
Unless they were over the number of dogs and ended up meeting the definition of a kennel, mm-hmm, I wouldn't anticipate we'd be going into a foster home unless they met the definition of a kennel. Then the code would already require them to have a kennel facility permit.
Unless, like this other organization you talked about, the organization in general is in question. Okay, who are your fosters? What are they doing mm-hmm. underneath mm-hmm. your organization?
So they're all under the organization because they all complete a lot of paperwork to be able to foster a dog. So they're directly working under the umbrella of that shelter. That's the only reason I ask.
Okay. But that individual household is not calling itself a shelter.
Correct.
The foster mm-hmm. foster home is not, is what you're saying.
And it's not in the definition of facility either.
No.
No.
Well, a shelter and a facility are two different things, really.
Facility is defined.
A shelter is a type of facility.
Well, yes.
Facilities are the larger
right.
umbrella.
Right.
Over all those types of premises.
So shall I bring a motion?
Sure.
So shall I bring a motion to edit 8.01.020 animal shelter definition, edit to read, means a facility, whether private, public, or nonprofit, which is used to house or contain stray, homeless, abandoned, or unwanted animals with the purpose of providing for the welfare, protection, and humane treatment of animals. Any further discussion?
So, yes. So I'm looking at the definition, and it talks about humane society, animal welfare society, society for the prevention of cruelty to animals. All of that is being removed?
Yes.
And so is the idea then to broaden it? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. And who's, I'm sorry, who's advocating? Is it us or is it the, who wants the change?
Animal control does.
Animal control does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it relates to the example you gave earlier, the seizure facility that's acting as a rescue.
Yes.
That would be a case where you
We're just talking about cases off record before the meeting started. Yes.
And there have been similar situations with others doing, basically having their own facility that were.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. We had a large one last year also.
So it would be an attempt to get a handle on those types of situations.
Correct. So if they required an annual inspection,
yes.
They required to notify us of their existence and therefore get a facility license, so they would get an annual inspection and we'd be able to get in there at least once a year unless we got complaints. Of course, we'd respond to complaints as well, but just to mostly educate them on animal husbandry and proper care and making sure that they have enough space and all the conditions that would make for healthy environment for animals, whatever type they
It gives you the opportunity to go in there to make sure they're doing the right thing, where without the change, you're more limited to be able to do that, correct?
Right. We'd be proactive versus just having to be responsive when there's a complaint and it's already gotten out of hand at that point and animals are sick, dying, et cetera.
Has there been an analysis of other places in the code where animal shelter is used that might have unintended consequences for not necessarily that situation, but maybe others?
I'm trying to recall if shelter is mentioned anywhere else in the code. I think if you go to the facility licensing area, which is 8.07.100, that talks about requirements for facility license, and that's where it goes into if you own, maintain, or operate a facility as defined in the definition section. It's requiring you to first of all, you have to make sure that you are zoned properly for whatever you're proposing to do, whatever type of facility. And if you are zoned properly, then you would have to get the facility license through animal control, and it's pretty broad there. If you meet the definition of facility, then you're required to have a facility license, and you're annually inspected and renew it.
Just having not seen this until now, it's hard to know how
understandable
what kind of consequences that might. But I'm trusting that people have looked into that.
And you can always, like I said, I wasn't expecting any kind of answer tonight. Just here to answer any questions that you might have.
Does anybody else have any issues, concerns, questions on this particular code change? So who is in agreement to make the change?
Those in favor? Those in favor?
Yeah? Raise your hand. I think that's...
Yes, to make the code change.
To make the change? And it was...
Doesn't have to be unanimous, so you're good to go.
Okay. Well, I think we've got that one.
So motion passes?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Everybody?
And the recommendation is adopted.
Okay, the next one, kennel definition. change dogs to domestic animals in subsection A, and where offspring puppies or adult dogs are sold to, quote unquote, to where adult domestic animals or offspring are sold to subsection. Means to regulate all animal breeding operations and prevent neglect and cruelty.
Either I'm looking at the wrong thing, or these don't correlate with these numbers, because this says it's 19, and the definition is much longer than that. So I'm confused as to what we're changing, quite honestly.
So the subsection is noted in the body of the text on the proposal. So talking about changing dogs to domestic animals in subsection A of the kennel definition. So it currently says kennel means either any premises used to conduct a commercial business involving the buying, selling, breeding for sale, letting for hire, boarding, or training of dogs. So right now it's just limited to dogs, dog-related businesses.
Right, that's 19, not 18.
Yeah.
My book is 18.
18 says hybrid.
I'm looking at it online.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
So I could be, this could be different.
My
too,
copy
Susan.
Says
I just,
18.
Like,
oh, I'm sorry. Mine says it's subsection 18.
Okay, so we're talking about the same thing. You're talking about 19. It's just they're referenced incorrectly here. Is that
okay? It's the wrong numbers on here.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Kennel definition here is 19.
Okay.
Do you have the same thing?
Okay.
It would be.
Why do you know if we're looking at something?
It would be easier if this had been redlined rather than pulled separately.
Yeah.
If this had been a redline document where it was the original document and then your changes.
Hmm. Okay.
It makes it a lot easier to read.
In the future, these changes should come from us and not the flow of changes should come potentially.
When we've had similar things to this in the past, that's how we've gotten them. We've gotten them with the old ones and then lined out with the new stuff where the changes are so that you could look at the paper and see both of them. So you can easily see where the changes were.
So we're just a little slow in following.
Yeah, so it makes it easier to read it that way.
But would it be worthwhile then to just do what you'd originally thought and just resend that out to us? And
I can reformat it.
Instead of tabling it in after one or two.
Right.
That might be easier.
Yeah.
If it's we're having this much trouble with the second one.
Right.
And you're
in
no hurry.
Do you have a timeline for?
I need to submit it next 10 to 14 days.
You do? Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the minor changes. The more extensive changes, it's not as urgent.
So it would be beneficial to get through a few more of these if we could.
Do you need board approval to do that? Or can we just defer to you to do that?
It's got to come from
us. It has to come through us.
Well, the next two are really easy because all we're doing is eliminating something that doesn't exist.
Because these fall under our duties, which is what she was explaining earlier.
Susan, which ones are your priorities that you need in the next 10 to 14 days?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. The minor stuff would be anything that does not involve a new fee, anything does not involve an increased fee.
What is most important to you and your job? Even if it's not minor, what's most important to you? You worked hard on this.
Well, the small changes just because of the timeline I'm on, and then everything else, it's all pretty pretty important for
what
helping
you're saying is all,
make enforcement possible. Yeah, for helping make enforcement possible or to increase revenue to the program.
Shall we try and get through some more of these?
And if I read them out loud, it would help.
Well, back to the kennel definition, I mean, 18, 19 were, the number may be wrong, but I think everybody's found
I apologize for
the
that.
Right.
Okay. My copy has it as 18.
The right wording, so
dogs to domestic animals.
And that's a simple change. We're just changing dogs to domestic animals, which makes a lot of sense because if it's
a cat breeder or a guinea pig breeder.
Then you're stuck because they're not a dog. So that makes perfect sense.
And where it was offspring of puppies and dogs, it's going to be offspring of domestic animals and offspring. That makes sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
your intent with the change is to do what?
Oh, expanding from dogs to other types of pets.
Right. Yeah.
That's to, again, be able to regulate breeding types of operations and be able to put eyes on them on an annual basis, help educate them, help them conduct their business in a healthy way that's not going to endanger the lives of the animals or the people, and ultimately to prevent neglect and cruelty before it can start.
Okay.
Right.
Just to save us time on the other putting way. More time up front. Save us time on the enforcement side.
So I propose a motion to update 8.01.020-19 kennel definition, updating the word dogs to domestic animals in subsection A, and change to and quote where offspring puppies or dogs are sold to quote where adult domestic animals or offspring are sold to subsection D.
Further discussion on that?
Is there any further discussion? I'm sort of doing things a little out of order.
Yeah, one question. So that says adult domestic animals. Is there a difference between, a definition between what's an adult and what's not? Domestic animals is defined, but I don't see anything about adult.
No.
Aren't they an adult when they're ready to breed, when they're able to breed?
Is that right?
let's see.
Pretty much.
We have a definition for adult cat. We have a definition for adult dog currently in the code, which would be past the age of 6 months for both of those types of animals.
Yeah, I think it would come with the type of animal, because if somebody were breeding rats, it would be younger.
I agree. It would differ with the type of animal. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm interested in suggestions also. If you suggest adding definitions for things, then that's more of interest.
Maybe a definition of adult domestic animals. We have adult dog and adult cat.
If that becomes an issue, can we add, can we make this change? And then if that's an issue down the road, can we add a definition for adult domestic animal? Since we already have a definition for an adult dog and adult cat, that's going to be the one you're going to contact the most.
You're being responsible,
right?
Yeah, but they can. It's possible for them to breed before five.
Not much before, right? Yeah. I mean, just like with people, sometimes the 13-year-olds can get pregnant. Right. Sometimes you have to be 16 to get pregnant, so it can vary slightly, but generally 6 months.
Okay. And Dr. Novick, do you have I hate to put you on the spot, but would you have any kind of recommended language or language that would work for what they're asking? A way to kind of openly define, you know, based on breeds?
If we're talking about that, you say adult animals. Adult domestic animals of breeding age.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
That way you're kind of
It's broad-based, but it's narrow enough that it still can include rats or snakes or, you know.
A domesticated animal of breeding age.
Well, snakes fall under domestic animal, technically, but I get what you're saying. Some people would say yes.
Well, guinea pigs. I mean, there's a number of things that...
Sure. So anybody who's breeding animals to be pets.
I like the idea of potentially adding that to our definition.
Specifically excludes livestock, domestic livestock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
assuming that's the intention as well, is not including livestock.
Correct.
Okay.
And it says generally refers to dogs, cats, and some birds.
Mm-hmm. You could really complicate it by pocket pets and exotics.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by saying appropriate breeding age, we're just assuming, like, biologically appropriate breeding age?
That's what I was assuming that you were looking for was...
Okay.
But that's... We're not making that recommendation to change, to add that right now, right? Or are you going to write that up?
I'm taking notes on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you look into it?
Okay. Yeah, you can look into that one. So we need to go back and decide if are we approving the change in the kennel definition? That's where we're at. We need to make that decision.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We have any
names?
How
many was that? One, two, three, four.
I think that's everybody.
All but Amy? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Motion passes.
Okay.
Moving on.
The next two, I think, should be...
Read together?
Together. I mean, they're just...
I keep bringing these motions, but I don't have to be the one that brings them. I'm just bringing them. Anybody can bring them.
8.01.050, 8.01.070, 8.01.080, Section 4, and 8.01.0902. Remove the section because animal control fund does not exist. So that makes a lot of sense. If it doesn't exist, we don't need it.
That's more of a code cleanup.
Yeah, and then it's the same thing on 8.070.190S or 5. It's a 5, not an S, sorry. Is just to remove that reference because the animal control fund does not exist. So anybody opposed?
I actually carefully went through all of these sections carefully to make sure that we weren't accidentally getting through, tossing out the baby with the bathwater this afternoon for a large chunk of the afternoon. And I didn't see anywhere where we were tossing out the baby.
Well, that's good.
I'm in favor.
So when you were looking at it, was it county animal fund or was it animal control fund?
Animal control fund.
Well, maybe we have outdated because this says
public. County I know.
Animal.
That's why fund. I'm not.
There's established a fund to be known as the County Animal Fund.
County Animal
Fund. Looking for a date on.
And I'm wondering, maybe these are outdated.
Are the code section numbers lining up?
Not with 18 and 19 didn't line up.
In the kennel definition.
This says Clark County Code is current through Ordinance 201. Oh, that was it. September 17th, 2019.
No, that's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there's also a disclaimer.
You just gave me this book and it says County Animal Fund.
County Animal Fund. Okay. I guess I gave you all the current copies of the code. I have an old one. I gave you the good stuff.
And Paula told us a long time ago that our money goes into the general county fund.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's not news to us.
I don't know when that changed, but it's...
That changed a long time ago.
Yeah, yes. That never got cleaned up.
Yes.
And that wording has never been... cleared up in our...
Yes. And I checked with the attorneys, and they agreed that there's no reason to have that in there because
that's
no longer...
That's been redundant for a long
accurate.
Time.
Accurate.
So...
So it looks like the wording changed to County Animal Fund.
Yeah, but not
between
at all.
Between 2017 and 2019, because my copy's from 2017.
So this doesn't even need to be, right?
It doesn't even need, because we haven't had a specific fund.
Okay, and we're not re-proposing removing County Animal Fund.
Because we don't.
Right.
Because it isn't there.
Well, it says
the
County Animal Fund in here.
Well, that's if it's County Animal Fund, Animal Control Fund, it doesn't exist.
Same thing.
Got it.
Right? Whatever it is, it's going. It's being removed.
Because it's a redundant.
Yep.
Is there anybody opposed to this?
It's already done, right? I mean, it's already been removed.
No.
Has it not?
Well, it's been removed.
In practice, it's been removed, but not on paper.
It hasn't been removed from paper. Okay. So we're just cleaning up the paper process.
I see.
But it is our duty to clean up the bylaws. And so one of the things, it is, we haven't done that in a long time. We as a board have not cleaned up our bylaws.
We're catching up.
And one of the things that, in a conversation with Susan that I posed was, you know what, many of us are new to the board and don't even know where to start when we look at all these bylaws. Susan is the one in it on a daily basis. Right. And so I said it would be well served for you, since you are dealing with the budget and you are dealing with the dog bites, to propose some recommendations. And she said, oh, I've got some recommendations.
Okay.
And this would be one of them. A fund that doesn't exist that the code refers to, let's stop referring to that. Fund, our money goes into the general fund.
That was one of the first questions I asked when I started this job is, where's the animal control fund and how much is in it?
Yeah.
I was very disappointed
We were just kidding. You don't have one, Susan.
We ran that all the way to the top of the finance office. And no.
It doesn't mean she doesn't have a budget.
Right.
It's just you don't have your own pot of money.
It's a different fund, yes.
Yeah.
That everybody else.
Everybody dips
takes
in the
out.
Same pot.
So I would offer a friendly amendment just to change animal control fund to county animal fund. And then it would all be accurate.
Yes, and I will make myself a new copy of the code.
Yes. Make sure both phrases are in there. That way, in case they're
just
county.
Yeah.
Okay. So
do a control.
And that's why this is a draft. It says draft.
Yeah. So is there a motion?
Yes.
I propose a motion to change 8.01.050, 8.01.070, 8.01.0804, and 8.01.0902 to remove these sections because, quote, county animal control fund does not exist, and additionally 8.070.1905 remove reference to county animal control fund because it does not exist. Any further discussion on the matter?
One clarification. So the first one is county animal fund, and then the second one is animal control fund. So county. With those two clarifications, I think it works.
Did I say it wrong?
Yes.
Yeah, so county animal control fund and county animal control fund.
County animal fund is what it says in one place.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the first one.
The first one says county animal.
No, it's incorrect fund. On here. That's
and the other one just says animal control fund.
Right.
Okay. So they're not even consistent.
They're not consistent.
For some reason they changed that.
Okay, so they changed one and they didn't change the other one.
What you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll go with what you said.
Okay,
yeah. I agree with what he says.
Yeah.
All in favor?
All in favor? Unanimous. Motion passes.
Okay, we're moving on.
Moving on.
Okay, the next one. We are 8.070.020/8.07.210. Add the person who licenses an animal becomes the owner or keeper of record and is responsible for the action and behavior of the animal. The person registering a dog/cats shall submit. This clarifies personal responsibility for licensing and enforcement purposes. So how did that read before?
It did not exist before. That's an addition.
Oh, we're just at, it's just a total add.
I have a problem with that, personally. Because I license a lot of dogs for a lot of people.
Under your name?
No, it's under their name, but I pay the bill.
Hmm. So how would that work then?
But I am not responsible for their dog.
But you're licensing them in their names, right?
That's not what this says, though.
It says the person who licenses the animal. So
it's my credit card, my address on file.
That you paid for.
And I'm not
for.
The only person in the county that does that. There's a lot of people that do it for the homeless shelters.
Oh, I'm sure.
Where they have dogs. But I do not want to be responsible for their dogs. And I don't think anybody else that does it does either, to be honest.
No, and that's not the intent.
Exactly.
Should it be the person...
The person's name, the person, on the license.
Or the person who an animal is licensed to. Because you're you're putting their
right.
name, right?
Yes.
So, yes, it's in that person's name. It's just someone else pays the bill on their behalf.
So maybe if we changed it to the person an animal is licensed to becomes the owner or keeper of record. Because then
that's
if someone else is...
The legal name on the
right.
license.
If someone, right. That way, if someone else is paying for it or...
There isn't a name on the license. It's just a number that's attached to my credit card.
No, but, when...
There is on the application.
You have to provide an owner name
in the application.
Okay.
Now, what happens if this dog gets lost, ends up that they can't find the owner... And somebody else gets the dog and doesn't relicense it, and they find the owner. And the second person doesn't take care of the dog, and he gets out and bites the neighbor's job.
I mean, this seems like a pretty common scenario, I would think.
So then the first person is still liable, even though they've lost the animal.
Because they're the licensed person.
Because their name is the
last
licensed
person. They're
considered
the owner or keeper of record.
Well, yeah. And it could even be a theft, and then you just license the animal to create ownership, potentially. I mean, that's a really good point of how that could be taken with this language. So maybe tighten up the language to have it be more clear about...
Well, that's a whole education thing. The general public does not know that.
No.
It sounds like there's a lot of issues with this particular motion.
Mm-hmm.
That
need to be thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you keep a record or who pays the bills? Is that kept somewhere? So is her name or whoever's name, if somebody else pays the bill, is that connected back to that record in any way?
That's not what we're concerned about, though, right?
No, but I'm
we're
just
concerned
just
about the prior.
To the license.
I have
concern about that as well.
About it going back to the
money? About ownership being tied specifically to the license, that person becomes the owner. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what I have a trouble
you are.
With.
Okay.
Gotcha. Just if you license, therefore you become the owner. I'm actually realizing after you said that,
I think it would discourage people from licensing.
Susan, you become the keeper of record as far as animal controls.
But
concerned.
If I find a dog on the street or whatever, and it doesn't have tags on, I take it home with me, and I send in a license application, but it's already licensed, what happens to my license application fee? Does it get kicked back out because the dog is already licensed?
How would you know the dog is
already
licensed?
Animal control knows that.
Only if the dog has the tag.
Yeah, they're not going to know that.
They have the record of the dog tag number and
who
the owner is.
But if the dog didn't have
the
tag on it.
You wouldn't know that to be able to tell them that.
That's why I'm asking. What do they do in that situation? Or do they? I don't know.
There would be two separate ones. That's probably technically the same.
The same dog would be licensed twice.
Because they have no way of knowing.
Chipped. They would know.
If that was chipped, yes, then they'd know. But if it was just, they just have two licenses for the same dog.
Well, it doesn't a license, if you don't renew the license, it expires anyway. Mm-hmm. So the original owner's license would eventually expire.
In time.
Yeah.
But going to Lynn's thing, if the original owner comes back and says, I want my dog, and you say, it's not your dog, it's my dog, and I think that's where you were going.
Yeah,
but,
well, we had that problem.
I'm sure. Remember.
There's a separate code section that talks about found domestic animals, 8.11.080. And it talks about your responsibility if you find a domestic animal. And it says that any person who finds and harbors an animal subject to licensing pursuant to Chapter 8.07, which would be cat or dog, shall notify the animal control program furnishing a description of the animal. The finder may surrender the animal to the animal control program or retain its possession, subject to surrender upon demand of the animal control program. Should such animal violate any provision of this title while retained by the finder, such finder shall be responsible for any penalty assessed hereunder. Records of reported findings shall be retained by the animal control program and made available for public inspection. Should the finder retain the animal for a period of 30 days, the finder must then license the animal as a newly acquired animal, unless such animal shall be too young to license or surrender the animal to the county animal shelter. So, does that answer one of the questions or concerns you have? So if you choose to keep this animal instead of taking it to the right. shelter...
Then I just, it's my obligation to relicense
it. Right, if it violates code, right. it's on you. If you choose to keep it for 30 days or more, it's your animal and you're required to license yep. it at that point. For stolen animals, yeah. that's...
I mean, let's say you had a young dog, 4 months, not licensed, and somebody else ends up getting that, licensing it, and then there's... And it's discovered, you know, you're in a... conflict now because that person with this becomes the owner under the code, and I
coming from what literally happens every day.
Yeah, there's
every
oh day. Yes, it does.
Dogs and it just
really go on Lost Dogs of Clark
yes,
County.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I would be afraid that people who would have that sort of perspective would see this as a loophole or something, and I just have concerns about that.
Okay.
It seems to me that this is trying to impose some liability on the person who licensed the animal, whereas the statutes are basically talking about applications and what needs to be in those applications. So what's the thinking behind establishing liability and connecting the two?
Mm-hmm. This language was inspired by Multnomah County Animal Services Code. One of the reasons I thought it would be a good idea is to make it clear that only one person can put their name on a dog's registration with the county, so we don't get multiple people trying to license a dog under multiple names, and then we run into challenges with enforcement. And
it's not my dog.
Kind of
it's licensed to this guy.
Yeah. They get a divorce.
It's your dog.
Can we look at language that specifically says that when, you know, one person is the single licensee, and somehow just take it out of the chance that somebody else can come in and license.
Legally steal your dog, basically.
Or cat, or whatever animal it is. Mm. Excuse me. But just to be able to establish the language you're looking for. Sorry, I'm choking. You know, instead of including the ownership piece, where it becomes. I think I have a problem with the word becomes.
Okay.
I have a problem with only one person licensing the dog, because I can see a scenario where a couple gets a dog and the husband or wife licenses the dog and they decide to get a divorce.
It just happens.
And this is a community property state.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever owns the license says, that's my dog, because the county has said, whoever licenses a dog
yeah.
is the owner.
The owner of record. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can see that being a...
It was horrible.
Yeah, I can just see that
horrible.
Being
so
a...
So would it work then to remove becomes owner of keeper of record and just change it to the person who licenses an animal is responsible for the action or behavior of the animal? Or something
yeah,
similar?
Yeah, that would probably be better.
Because our... We can't legally cite more than one person for the actions of an animal, just as a challenge for enforcement purposes.
But even still, that would put people like Anne
yeah,
responsible.
Yeah.
So if you said the person who licenses an animal becomes responsible for the actions of that animal, Anne would be on the hook.
But it's licensed in the...
She likes.
But it's li- but not it's licensed, licensed in
she's
your
only
name.
She's only paying for the license.
You, we you don't record who pays.
Yes. You stated.
Yeah, I think we had talked about changing it to the person who...
In, whose name in, is on the license.
Yeah, who,
whoever... The person that
whose
pays
name is on the license
of no matter.
Right, yeah. The name is on... The person listed as the owner on the application. That's really what it's getting back to, is whoever's right. name is on that
it's
application.
It's not who paid the bill. It's who right. who's listed as the owner.
So can we...
I still think had, that gets into sticky.
Do we want to just bring...
This is going to be a long
This
debate.
Is a long yeah. conversation. Yeah. We have yeah. a lot of motions yeah. to bring. Yeah. Yeah. Do we want to just bring a motion, vote
Are you
on
okay
it?
If we
this
wait
one,
on this one for more discussion?
And maybe bring this one up at,
it's more
at a different meeting?
Than
I mean,
it appears.
We... And the idea of being efficient, mm-hmm. you know, typically we yeah. kind of get to the point, move on, and if it passes, it passes. If it doesn't, it doesn't, yeah. you know. And
yeah. that'll give you
yeah, I think
some
that
more
one's
time to think about it, too.
That one just may need a little more yeah. finessing mm-hmm. And a further conversation yes. at another meeting. So I'll bring a motion. 8.070.020/8.07.210. I think I said that right.
But you did.
You did.
The first one's dog, the second one's cat.
Oh, got it.
That's fine.
Add, quote, the person who licenses an animal becomes the owner or keeper of record and is responsible for the action or behavior of the animal, end quote. The person registering a dog or cat shall submit, dot, dot, dot.
So we'll come back to that.
So all those in
all
good.
Favor?
Yep.
Aye. Okay. That one needs some work. The next one should be an easier add.
So we're saying all those in...
Everybody was in favor of coming back to...
You're
it.
Making oh. a motion to actually
add.
Pass it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My motion was to add it.
To pass
so,
it.
Oh.
So
yeah.
all
I
those
thought,
in favor...
Oh, I'm sorry.
All those in favor of adding it. All the...
I'm sorry, I thought your motion was to put it, I heard you wrong, was to
yeah.
put it back on the table and come back to it later.
So I would imagine everyone would be saying no.
Yeah.
No right. one's in favor yes. of adding that one
no.
right now. Okay. So motion does not pass.
Okay. So I misunderstood.
Sorry.
And so we really don't need a motion to bring it back, I don't think. We just,
no.
we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So that one doesn't pass.
Okay.
Motion
okay.
pass. And then the next one is...
The next one is easy. 8.07.220, cat license vaccination required as a prerequisite to licensing. Any cat 6 months of age or older shall be currently vaccinated against the disease of rabies, which mirrors the dog section. So I assume that it never said a cat had to have a rabies shot? Before?
For some reason it was left out of
really
that part of the code. I don't know why.
Yeah, the state, I believe, requires it, but if it's
yeah,
not in Clark County code.
Well, we have to do
state law, but yeah.
Yes, it's, I think it was, my assumption is it was inadvertently left out.
Okay.
Because it is state law, and we cannot do less than what state law requires.
Right, and
so
you
that's
have to have,
another
and you have,
good
to have
reason
the
to
rabies
it.
Vaccination to license your cat.
And in practice, correct. That's how you're what you're having people do. So.
Right,
correct.
Like,
so we just need
when
our
you
code
look
to equal state law.
Okay. Correct, which is a good reason to.
So then, does that become a sub 7? There's a list of the annual fee for cat licenses issued or renewed here under is outlined in section provided that. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Would then this become number 7?
Oh, you're looking at 8.07.220, correct?
220. 8.07.220.
Yeah, I think the numbers
so.
Might be off again because I think it's a section. Just before
two
this.
One.
And the numbers.
210. Oh.
Yeah.
Number 7, right? Is that right, Kyle?
Mm.
He's saying add it
because there's only six now.
Yeah.
So this would become number seven.
It would become seven.
Yeah, become number seven. So it would be 8.01.2107.
Yeah, where is it in the docs? Because it should be in the same place.
Because I've got the number here.
It's right here. It should go right there. So we're
okay, well, then this number is wrong then? 8.07.220? That number's wrong?
So it should be under 210, and then number 7 is under 220.
That number's wrong. That number's wrong. It should go right here under CAT license application.
Yeah, number 7.
Number 7.
Right above the fees.
Yeah, it just needs to be changed from 220 to 210.
Okay. 7.
Here. Yes. Yep. 7.
I'll say it right. Promise.
210.7.
All right. I bring a motion to add to 8.07.2107 CAT license vaccination required as a prerequisite to licensing. Any cat 6 months of age or older shall be currently vaccinated against disease of rabies. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, next one. 8.18.030 change license required to certificate of registration requires mirror language in RCW 16.08.080. Add or potentially dangerous. Change all examples of special license to certification of registration.
That's right, because they changed what they called the thing.
So you're just changing the word license to certification of registration.
To mirror state law.
Okay.
Correct. And then also adding potentially dangerous to the code so that we're registering both dogs that have been labeled as potentially dangerous as well as the dogs that have been labeled as dangerous.
And so there is a definition for dangerous dog and potentially dangerous dog in the prior section, so that seems to work. Yep.
Is the number correct on this one, as you're looking?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
The certificate of registration, is that related to the potentially dangerous, or are these two different things?
Certificate of registration is currently required for dangerous dogs. We would be creating a new requirement to register. Well, actually, let me rephrase. Creating a new requirement to pay to register your potentially dangerous dog. So it has been legally labeled as potentially dangerous. It has been cited and upheld as potentially dangerous. It meets the definition.
So instead of special license, it would be special certificate of registration.
Just certificate of registration.
Oh, certificate of registration. Procured a certificate of registration.
Got it. Which is what state law says. Calls a
correct.
Registration
the
for
term,
a potentially
yes.
dangerous dog. You don't license a potentially registered
dog. No, you register them on your local registry.
Okay.
Yes. Got it.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're just mirroring state law.
So they're required to, there's several requirements, especially for the dangerous dogs. Uh-huh. There's lots of stringent requirements. For the PDDs, they have to be microchipped. They have to notify the county if they move and relocate the dog. They have to update the microchip. So just trying to keep better tabs on potentially dangerous and dangerous dogs in our community. I'm also interested, just as a sidebar, of listing the locations that potentially dangerous and dangerous dogs live on the website so that anybody can check it.
Similar
idea. Registry for dangerous dogs.
So this would support the registry, which then would support that public information?
Correct.
Okay. I like that.
Yep.
Okay. I do have a question. I'm sorry. On the other side of that, if we have access to find out where these potentially dangerous dogs are, the reason behind why that dog's potentially dangerous, say livestock, is that public, now going to become public information also, so they can avoid.
I hadn't thought that far into it, but certainly something the board could talk about and potentially recommend.
I mean, because
recommend.
It also affects the people that they're moving into, right?
And the new dog person. That's a forge thing. How
this just happened to me. That's why I'm asking. Yeah.
This is exactly why you're here, right?
That's true. The dog can be labeled for being aggressive and injuring either other animals or humans.
Exactly.
So. And it's usually one or the other.
Or both.
Could be both. Mm-hmm.
So just to clarify, the dangerous dog is, it's only dangerous dog in the RCW. So that one will not mirror RCW. That will be unique to our county code. The special.
It's there.
RC 16.08.080 just talks about dangerous dogs.
Right. 8.18.040 talks about dangerous dogs.
That's right. That's our code. So difference between state law and the code. So our code would be different than the state law.
It would be more restrictive, which is allowed.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. The certificate of registration would then mirror state statute.
And you're okay with it being more restrictive than state law?
Yes. Okay. We can't be less restrictive, but we can.
But you're okay with
we
more.
Can be more.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm okay with that, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, I bring a motion, 8.18.030, to change license required to, quote, certification of registration required. This mirrors the language in RCW 16.08.080, and add, quote, or potentially dangerous, end quote, and change all examples of, quote, special license to, quote, certification of registration. Is there any further discussion on this matter?
There's not, but just a correction to the language of certificate of registration.
Is that not what I said? Sorry. It's late. My eyes are blurry. I'm sorry.
Be precise.
Feel free to bring a motion if you want.
Certificate of registration.
I think I said certificate and you said certification.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.
We're almost done with the first page.
Yes.
8.070.040/8.07.2206 increase pet license late penalty from $2 to $10 in cat and dog licensing sections. Means to assist with cost recovery.
$10 seems low.
Yeah. Well, okay.
That's
in
incremental.
A late penalty, how long do they, when is that assessed? Does it? Is there a late penalty already?
It's 30 days. I'd have to.
It says in a timely manner. But then it lists a bunch of other sections, too.
It just says increase the late penalty. So I'm assuming, are you already assessing people a late penalty? Or
$2.
Or are you really doing that?
We're going to start.
I've not done that in the past.
As soon as the code language passes. No, we could start doing it sooner.
But there should be like 30 days or 45 days or there should be a number
in
there.
We're getting geared up for when we have technology improvements that make processing all manner of things easier for my staff. I just like the code to be ready for when
that
our
happens.
Technology solution is
okay
is rolled out eventually, and we're able to more easily process all types of fees and fines and so forth.
I don't have a problem with increasing it. I just think that there should be a time limit on here, stating that. The late penalty is, you know,
30 days.
It has to be 30 days
or
I mean, they have to have a given time, 30 days or 45 days or 60 days or 14 days or, you know, whatever works.
So then we'd need to change within a timely manner as provided
that's
to a specified.
Yeah. A timely manner means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
It needs to be specific, I think.
Yeah, I think it needs to be specific.
Yeah. What's reasonable?
45 days? 30 days?
30 or 45 days is a standard.
Yeah. 30 days is pretty standard.
30 days. I'm good with 30 days.
Is the licensing from, I'm sorry, is the licensing from, so like if you go to the DMV now, your car license or your tabs on your license plates are due to renew every year. And if even if you, mine are due in November, if I don't pay for them until, or I don't get them till December, I lost that month. They don't add that additional, right? I am now only getting, I'm only paying for 11 months of registration. Is that the same with this? Are they paying for the full, is it year to year, or is it from the date of their last license also? So that should be something to take into consideration.
Because it's not, is it?
Right.
I don't think I've seen that specified in the code.
Is that specified on the website either?
Yeah.
Is it data valid?
I have wondered that before.
Let me see.
When you buy your license, is it going to renew
that
the license?
The day you purchase?
And if you purchase it early.
So the code addresses it.
Right.
Like if you're on the ball,
yeah.
Now did you lose a month?
Right. See, and that's the thing. I think there should never be penalties for people that
pay early. Yeah, no, there shouldn't
However, there should be penalties. And this may be something that could also be one of those penalties, is it's now only an 11-month license, and you still have to do it.
It all depends on how the system updates it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
So it's something that would have to be looked at first to see if the technology hits it that day of payment, or if it backdates it to the date of license.
So what the code says, it says the code says dog licenses, and should be the same for cat license, shall be valid for 12 months, shall be valid for 12-month increments from the date of issuance, and shall be issued upon payment of the fee required.
Okay, so it's every time you pay,
Yeah,
so if you buy early, you just lost a month.
You did.
That's not good.
No, that's not good at all. In practice,
I think we've been making adjustments so that nobody's paying more and getting less for their money. That's not our intent. So in practice, I think we've been making adjustments so that you, if you pay early, you're still getting your full.
Yeah, well, you should be.
Your full 12 months.
But if it's going to be automated, right? You're talking about going into an
automated adjusted
system. Yeah.
So we're going to table that. Language changes will be made to make it more specific, and we'll come back to that in another time. If that would,
or do we want to increase it and just add the 30 days?
Because you can't do anything about the technology till you know what it is.
Yeah.
So if we just add the 30 days in there for now, and then we can come back later if we need to make adjustments based on technology. So that you get the full 12 months. But she doesn't know how it's going to be processed at this point.
Right.
But now a physical human's going in there and adjusting appropriately.
Correct.
Okay, so.
I'll say it, you guys vote.
Would you like to read what we've changed it to, since you've written it down there?
Oh, I just wrote myself a note to specify a time frame for the late change.
So we're thinking increased pet license late.
A late charge.
Penalty fee.
Increased pet licensing late penalty from $2 to $10.
Are we comfortable with actually just approving that so you can at least get that in there and then dealing with this?
The 30 days later?
The 30 days.
A second, so that at least the license fees can go up and their current enforcement can gain that revenue.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And then we can worry about the
30 days.
When it starts getting enforced and all that part.
I'm supportive of
Okay. Okay.
I'm going
to. This is we can all one piece, and then we'll make a note to come back to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Yeah. And let's. In January.
And we also bookmarked one more thing. I, don't, I don't want to take us off point, but I do want to point out 8.07.060 dog license tags.
Hold on, let me just finish writing this one down so I know what things we're coming back to.
We can talk about that next time, this one. This has to do, I might have brought this up last time, but this has to do with a dog or just dogs having to wear the collar with the tag, and a lot of dogs, mine included, don't always wear their collar when they're out and both they're in a harness. So I would rather it be changed. We talked about identifying by microchip or some other versus forcing the collar with the tag to be present on the animal all the time.
Is that on the back page anywhere?
And if you want to just talk about that in January, I just want to put a note to have that ready, that we can look at that language.
If the owner has access to the information, doesn't have to be on the animal, something like that.
Something where you're not having to have a collar with a tag attached to fit, you know, on the animal.
Can't you put the tag on the harness? Because that's where my neighbor.
But then you have to move it from the collar to the harness every time you.
Yeah.
Oh,
some of those loops are going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Are not.
Okay.
It's just some way that you can identify if you're out.
They're not easy to take on at all.
But just to be practical about
how. Well, no, I didn't realize you did a collar sometime and a harness others.
Yeah. No, definitely. So, if we could just look at that maybe next time, because I think a lot.
You don't have anything about that.
I've got that.
That's what she said next time. But
No. I just wondered if Susan
I've got that written
down. Back. No.
Okay.
So that we can come to that in January.
Okay.
Okay. So, from the motion for 8.070.0408 and 8.07.2206 to increase pet license late penalty from $2 to $10 in cat and dog licensing sections. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Yes.
So, Susan, when you're doing that 30 days, the statute or the code that Charlene was just mentioning does say 30 days.
Oh, does it?
So you could just reference this code as provided in 8.07.060. It says license tags are not transferable between dogs. For newly acquired dogs, applications are required within 30 days, or as outlined in section 8.07.
Well, that's just newly ones.
Newly.
So that's not the same.
But you could reference it and say it has to be done pursuant to, you know, that. I think that's what they were trying to do.
Well,
because it says timely within this chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because that's like you have to do it within 30 days of when you take ownership of the dog.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Not renewals. Not a
renewal.
It's a total.
Done.
Yeah.
They're saying that 30 days seems to kind of.
It course.
You're saying it's
the same. Oh, it's 30 days.
30 days.
Yeah.
Got
it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I like that idea. 30 days.
Just refer back. You don't have to create a new code.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, next one, 8.070.040. This is another addition, which will be 9. License fees shall be waived for any dog used primarily as a service animal upon the owner or keepers establishing the service animal's function as an assistance animal under the Americans with Disabilities Act. I'm not going to read the number. Complies with federal law. So the people that say they have a service animal, what verification do they have to have in order to not?
There's a federal definition for service, for therapy, and emotional support, and they're all three very, very different. The problem is most people do not understand the difference. So the people in the grocery store with their dog say that it's a service dog.
They can buy on Amazon.
Right, right.
Right.
That's my problem.
The vest means nothing.
Correct.
To us, as far as law enforcement.
It means nothing.
So, like Ann was saying, federal law is very, very, has put forth a lot of information on this because of
very
the
specific
issues with people claiming animals are therapy, or service animals or service dogs when they don't meet the federal definition. So there is a couple of questions that you can ask a person that brings an animal into your facility.
you cannot require them to present you with any kind of label, vest, patch, certificate, no proof whatsoever. All you can do is ask the two questions, and based on your training and the answers they give you, you can either allow them under the exception for service dogs, or they don't have an answer that meets the definition.
But your intent is service dogs, not therapy, not emotional support.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. Federal law does not allow us to charge a fee to license a service dog.
Okay, so this is only one that is a service dog, not a therapy dog or emotional support dog.
Correct. They are required to have a county license, but we cannot charge them a fee.
This is just lining up the code with federal requirements. Okay. So
that's correct.
But should it say service animal and in parentheses say per federal definition?
I think that's what it's saying there. Under the Americans with Disabilities.
Okay. I think this is.
Yeah.
Looks.
I'm good with this.
Okay. So that, and that's what that's.
The 42 U.S. So that's the U.S. code and the code section, and then et sec just means what comes after. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
So, yeah, I think we're ready to, we can vote on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll bring a motion for 8.070.040 to add for number 9 on this section. Quote, license fees shall be waived for any dog used primarily as a service animal upon the owner or keeper establishing the service animal's function as an assistance animal under the Americans with Disabilities Act, 42 U.S.C. 12101.
Et sec.
Thank you. any further discussion on this matter?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
The next one, it goes right along with this. That was 9, so this will be 10 under the same number, 8.070.040. Upon annual application, a low-income household defined as at or below 80% of median family income adjusted for family size may be eligible to license not more than one spayed female or neutered male dog and one spayed female or neutered male dog per household at no cost.
Meant cat.
Yes, that should be one dog, one cat.
Or one spayed female and cat.
Yeah, why isn't cat here?
Yeah, I think it's one's
just typo.
Typo?
That second dog should be cat.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because it was like saying the same thing twice there.
Right.
Okay, so typo.
This was one that I actually called Susan about this afternoon. Because it's actually different than the email we received, which had originally said 50%. I have a weird hang-up about this one. A low-income household defined as at or below 80% of the median family adjusted gross income. Household, I just want to make sure that we're not disenfranchising our homeless population. Kind of prefer personally the phrasing just defined as, you know, as defined, like, and I don't know what the powers that be had decided on this, but as defined in RCW 84-14-010 says a family that a low income household. So if we were to change it to say a low-income household as defined in RCW 84-14-010 would direct that person to the definition, which would be a person, a family, or unrelated persons living together whose adjusted income is at or below 80% of the median family income adjusted for family size. Why that's important is I just want to make sure that household isn't assuming that the person who's licensing has to have a house. I want to make sure that
they're loaded. It can be a loaded word.
It can be a really loaded word.
Yeah.
And I don't want people who have alternate housing situations to think that they are not a household. And so I personally prefer the wording that a low-income household is not, that we are not defining what a low-income household is here, that we are referring to the state law's definition of what a low-income household is. That we are saying, upon annual application, a low-income household as defined in, and that definition for the state law may change, and we're still good, because they may change that definition up or down, but as defined in RCW 8414010, you can double check me on that. I wouldn't mind it if you did. But as defined in, and then may be eligible to license not more than one spayed female or neutered male dog or one spayed female or neutered male cat per household at no cost. That would be my preference for the wording of this particular one, just so we're not disenfranchised.
Do we need to wait and have that wording sent back to us, or can we, because we need to refer to the other?
I think we can.
Or can we do it?
Scratch it.
No, you can do it.
Okay. Scratch it. Write it in.
Okay.
Your idea has an added benefit because there's also low-income household for high-cost areas, which is 100% of the median family income.
So
if you get rid of the 80%,
I think that gives us a little more coverage.
Mm-hmm. Well, it provides a definition, so it's not quite.
It provides a definition that we're not setting.
Right.
Right.
I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's good.
As defined in, so we're just scratching, we're literally scratching at or below 80% of median family income adjusted for family size, which is what's on our documents, and we're filling in as defined in RCW 84, have you checked me on that? 14010.
Yep.
And I didn't choose the exact... Which one? Because it
could change.
It could change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll bring a motion to add to 8.070.040, section 10, add, quote, upon annual application, a low-income household defined in RCW 8414010. May be eligible to license not more than one spayed female or neutered male dog, or one spayed
and
one spayed female or neutered male cat per household at no cost. Any further discussion on this matter?
No.
I like that better.
Thanks. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Okay. Another add. 8.07. 8.080, 8.07, 0.260, filings of rabies vaccination certificate. A veterinarian performing a rabies vaccination on any dog / cat must transmit a copy of the vaccination certificate or written documentation that includes the information contained on the certificate to the county within 30 days. In the alternative, a veterinarian who is a licensing agent for Clark County may issue a pet license in accordance with the rules adopted by the county and submit proof of licensure to the county within 30 days. Requires significant public outreach.
And this is not going to be a minor code
change. No,
this is not a minor code change.
This is a very controversial
one. I'd say put it on January's agenda.
Come back to this one in January.
And it's something that the subcommittee has discussed and is looking into and researching as well.
But it's all in our head now.
Yes.
So
been next. In some of our heads for many years.
That's true. This is not the first time we've heard about this.
You might want to check the code provisions because I'm not seeing a 080 or a 260.
Right, it'd be new.
Oh, it's brand new.
Totally new.
Perfect. All right.
First one in the dog section, the second one in the cat section.
Got it.
So shall we bring it and not pass it?
Yeah, we're just going to come back to it.
I wouldn't bring the motion.
No. Okay.
No.
We're just clear enough that it's not going
to.
Okay.
It's just, it's in our brains now. It's something to think about.
An agenda item.
Agenda. January
we'll
agenda.
This.
So the next one is 8.18.020, potentially dangerous dog definition. change inflicts bite on a human to inflicts one or more bites on a human in 2A. Also, change that results in broken bones or disfiguring lacerations requiring multiple sutures or cosmetic surgery to that results in one or more broken bones or one or more lacerations requiring sutures, staples, clips, skin adhesion closures, or cosmetic surgeries in 5. Means to head off legal challenges from PDD and DD owners. Because before it just said one, and it's like, oh, well.
It's just one bite.
It was just one bite, so it doesn't count. That's
correct.
That's where we're going with this.
In the dog world, though, there are multiple definitions of bites, and there's actually a scale of bites that's produced by Dr. Ian Dunbar, and you might want to consider putting it. I mean, it makes a bite to you and a bite to me are two very different things. I mean, we do this all day with people. It's like, well, the dog bit me. Okay, where did the dog bite you? Well, you can't see it, but the dog bit me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in our world, that's not a bite.
Yeah.
Dr. Ian Dunbar, it's not a bite. There's a scale of 1 to 8 on his scale.
Is that what you would get from a doctor's report? Like the doctor said?
No, the doctor will define it as, but the definitions on Ian Dunbar's are very black and white. 8 is you die. Huh.
Hmm.
So, just to suggest, I mean, a bite, to me, the bite is not well defined. As a dog owner in a business of dogs.
I can appreciate that, because I've had bites by a dog that I don't consider a bite.
Right.
You know. Somebody else might, but it, to me, it was not a bite.
It's a subjective term.
Yeah, it is.
I think, again, it falls in the category of what I see you're changing is inflicts bites to inflicts one or more. So you're trying to start it with one. And I think that that language actually looks good, but we have a second issue of coming back and looking at
defining
how
we define
a bite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it looks like this language could be approved if we agree as it is because it's replacing ambiguous language.
Yes, less specific.
The same, and then we can come back and add some sort of definition of
and
what.
And I think you're very right. It is our duty as a board to be doing this on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
We're always supposed to be cleaning up this and providing suggestions. This shouldn't be, you know.
And I
every
don't think
10
we
years,
need anything on the
this
second
should be constantly
change.
Thinking about what we want to be improving.
What do you mean?
I said I don't think we really need anything on the second change as much. It's just the first one that refers to the bite. That's the only one that could use the definition.
Well, I think what I was suggesting is that we
look
at the language as it stands.
Right, right. I know. No, I'm saying
maybe
I'm
just come back to
define
the first
bite
one.
Is.
Yes.
Right.
Just to the bite, not lacerations
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. We don't need a definition for that.
No, no.
In law school, they teach you every dog gets at least one free bite. Liability.
That's fair.
Can we vote on the language as it stands, and then we'll just come back to the other piece,
and then
the bite definition in January?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me add that. Okay, I bring a motion for 8.18.020, potentially dangerous dog definition, to change, quote, inflicts bites on human, end quote, to, quote, inflicts one or more bites on a human, end quote, in 2A, change, quote, that results in broken bones or disfiguring lacerations requiring multiple sutures or cosmetic surgery, quote, to, quote, that results in one or more broken bones or one or more lacerations requiring sutures, comma, staples, comma, clips, adhesive, skin adhesive closure, or cosmetic surgery, end quote. In 5. Any further discussion on this matter? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
Next one, 8.18.030, change license required to registration required. This is mirroring language in RCW 16.08.080. Change special license to registration and add potentially dangerous to registration requirement.
That's basically more of what
that's more of that previous one. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the same number, but it's the same issue.
Assuming you have the right numbers.
Did I do a double paste inadvertently?
No, the wording is slightly different.
It's a little bit different. It's not quite the same.
It's the same statute.
Yeah.
The same code.
License required to certification of registration. Which one do you want?
I think you want the first one.
Wait. Change special license.
Well, you have the same number, 8.18.030. It's the same number in both places.
Yeah. It was just typed up slightly differently.
Yeah,
I think it's the same. Kyle's pointing to a distinction that I think is important because one says registration, there's this certificate of registration, which is the specific title of what would be
for a dangerous dog. Right.
Or potentially
I had two different versions, and both made onto the one copy.
Okay.
So, which one's supposed to be correct?
I think it's the first one.
I think we need to make sure it's certificate of registration because registration and that's too vague.
The certificate of registration version. So the version on page one is the
correct.
The final, yes.
Okay.
The final.
So we can just X this one out then.
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry for the confusion on that.
That was easy. Well, then we can move on. 8.18.050, change license fees to registration fees. This is again mirroring language in RCW 16.08.080. And change the initial license fee for a dangerous dog is to the initial registration fee and annual renewal fee for a dangerous dog are in section one for cost recovery and change the foregoing fees shall be in lieu of to the foregoing fees shall be in addition to, and that's reflecting language in RCW 16.08.080. So you're trying to get that more in line with the RCW then.
That's correct, which would allow us to charge a separate fee to register.
So they have to do the regular license and the special.
Can we then consistently refer to it as a certificate of registration in all the instances, just to make sure we're crystal clear? The initial certificate of registration fee instead of just the initial registration fee.
License fees, certificate of. So we'll scratch registration fees and say certificate of
registration.
Right, and then change license fees to certificate of registration fees.
Wait, certificate.
Of registration fees, and then.
Registration fees, most language of the initial light.
Yeah, and when you go to this
certificate,
when it lists the fees, it says dangerous dog license. So when you go in that section and then click on the link to the fee list, it says dangerous dog license.
Mm-hmm. And I'm proposing to update that further on in the document.
Okay,
I'm sorry, it's such a long document.
Yeah, it just needs all the.
I'll read it.
Right. All the things right. to be consistent.
I'm getting tired, but I'll do my best.
Can we simply say that we want to update the language to certificate of registration wherever it appears, or do we still need to take it one by one, probably, on those occurrences?
I like that idea.
Yeah, I like that idea too.
I think we're supposed to read every single one in. Okay. We've only got three more.
There's only one more after this.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's fine. Just read along with me and correct me if I screw up. Okay, proposing changes to 8.18.050, change license fees to certificate of registration fees, change, quote, the initial
license fee for a dangerous dog is, end quote, to the initial certificate of registration fee and annual renewal fee for a dangerous dog are, end quote, in one, and change, quote, the foregoing fees shall be in lieu of, end quote, two, quote, the foregoing fees shall be in addition to, end quote. Any further discussion on this? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
Last one. 8.1.
No.
No? Was there another page?
Yes, there are
two more.
I missed the other page. Sorry.
It's a short page.
Okay.
It's a really
it's
short
okay.
page.
Well, okay. It's not the last one. Sorry, I lied. 8.18.060. Change shall issue a license to the owner to shall issue a certification of registration to the owner. In one, reflects language in 16.8.080. Remove and national from 1D, national registration or registry does not exist, and remove national from 3, because national registry does not exist. Add as 4, owners of dangerous and potentially dangerous dogs must notify the Animal Protection and Control immediately when their dog's home address changes. Owners shall also update the address information on the microchip registry and provide proof of such to Animal Control within 5 business days following the dog's relocation. The applicable fee for potentially dangerous dog annual registration check as outlined... Thank you. In section 6.150.030 will be assessed. Owners of dangerous dogs must contact Animal Control to schedule a site inspection of the dog's new home within 5 business days following the dog's relocation. The applicable fee for a dangerous dog registration renewal, as outlined in section 6.150.030, will be assessed. And add 5. The initial registration fee and annual renewal fee for a potentially dangerous dog are outlined in section 6.150.030.
That's a different section, right?
This table on here, table 6, is 6.150.130, dog and cat license fees. Yeah. So we're changing dangerous dog registration initially to 350 and a renewal to 175, and adding potentially dangerous dog registration initial at 100 and annual recheck at 50. That was a long one.
Susan, how do they know to do that? How do the owners of the dangerous dogs and potentially dangerous dogs know to do all of this?
So during the process, if the... an animal control officer finds that a dog meets the definition of either potentially dangerous or dangerous, they would issue what looks like a notice of violation, but it's specific to dangerous dogs. The back of that, in very tiny print, lists all of the code pertaining to registering your animal and all the requirements for either one of those. So for potentially dangerous dog, you have to have the animal microchipped. It's pretty minimum for a potentially dangerous dog. And let me make sure I'm not forgetting anything.
Would it have
this would be communicated by the officer to the dog owner and then also provided in writing. And the officers would verify that all the requirements are in place. Let's see.
And once they have gone through that initial part, is there a follow-up?
Yes. So then they're added to the registry. And we are adding the requirement for them to notify animal control if they relocate the dog. So that's something we don't have codified in place now, but we're proposing that. And then annually we would be verifying that all the requirements are
still
in place.
So you are verifying with them annually to
make sure? That's correct.
Okay.
And we do
charge a fee currently, as outlined in that table, for dangerous dogs. We do not have, at this time, a fee for maintaining the potentially dangerous dog registry, but we're proposing to add that fee structure. Okay. Because it does take quite a bit of staff time to maintain each of those and inspect for the dangerous dog enclosures and all the other requirements.
Is there a reason why the fee or the initial registration on the potentially dangerous dogs is so much lower? I mean, I recognize a dangerous dog, but
sure.
Still.
There isn't going to be a detailed site inspection required for the potentially dangerous dog just because the requirements are so much less. Mm-hmm. If you go to, it would help if you could see that. So besides this, the registration required for a dangerous dog, they must also... in 8.18.060, they have to have a proper enclosure to confine the dangerous dog. They have to post a sign that warns children of the presence of a dangerous dog, which is kind of a big red sign with a vicious-looking dog figure on it. They have to have a surety bond for $250,000. They have to have a policy for liability insurance for minimum of $250,000, and then provide evidence that the labeled dog has been implanted with a microchip with the correct address. So just the staff time involved to verify that all those requirements in place. We've had one example I can think of recently that I was in contact with the officers about, where the person that owned the dog just, for whatever reason, had a really hard time understanding what the requirements were, and it took him, we extended his time while the dog was in the shelter because we knew it was safely contained there, giving him ample time and a little extra time to get these things put into place, because we wanted him to be able to keep his dog. Ultimately, he was not able to secure all of the requirements and pay all the fees to house it at the shelter and all that, but it can be quite time consuming to get a dangerous dog established and be able to actually accept it on the registry. Most people end up just surrendering their dangerous dogs because of the extensive requirements
and the penalties.
Exactly.
Is there a reference to those penalties anywhere?
It's the next section.
Okay.
And it's gross misdemeanors and then felonies for prior convictions and tacking again.
Yes, dangerous dogs, when you get to the point where they're being labeled as dangerous, it's not an animal you want.
Don't want
at the dog park or even out for walks on a leash. Though. It has to be muzzled. There's lots of requirements.
Yes.
No, but yeah, I don't want them biting this.
I know,
they're
scary. They're amazing to have.
So are we ready?
I think so.
Yep. I'm going to bring a motion for 8.18.060 to change, quote, shall issue a license to the owner, quote, to shall issue a certification of registration to the owner in section 1 to reflect language in RCW 16.08.080, and to remove and national from section 1D, and remove, quote, and national from section 3, and add section 4, quote, owners of dangerous and potentially dangerous dogs must notify Animal Protection and Control immediately when the dog's home address changes. Owners shall also update the address information on the microchip registry and provide proof of such to animal control within 5 business days following dog relocation. The applicable fee for a potentially dangerous dog annual registration recheck, as outlined in section 6.150.030, will be assessed. Owners of dangerous dogs must contact Animal Control to schedule a site inspection of the dog's new home within 5 business days following dog relocation.
The applicable fee for a dangerous dog registration renewal as outlined in section 6.150.030 will be assessed, end quote. Add section 5, quote, the initial registration fee and the annual renewal fee for a potentially dangerous dog are outlined in section 6.150.030, end quote. Table 6.150.030, dog and cat license fees. Change to dangerous dog registration. Initial $350, renewal $175, and add potentially dangerous dog registration. Initial $100, annual recheck $50. Any further?
Well, here was my comment earlier, and I wasn't clear enough. I was wondering if we could just read in wherever it says registration, read certificate of registration. That's just what I'd like to have added for clarity. Just in all this global.
So they're all reading the same.
Just read it in that way, so that it's just crystal clear, because we are talking about licensing, and we're talking about certificate of registration, and that's a new.
We want the language to be the same everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right here.
So wherever
just,
it occurs.
Right.
Occurs.
Yeah. Certificate. Okay. I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Of registration. Here in this section.
Yes, wherever. There's several places, but if we can just have that added to it, then
dangerous
I think
dog,
it's
applicable for a dangerous dog, not registration renewal, but certificate of registration renewal.
Yeah. It starts back on previous page 2, add under number 4, dangerous dog annual registration recheck. I would just continue to be consistent and say annual certificate of registration recheck, so that wherever it occurs, it's exactly the same language. It means a specific thing is happening, and that's just...
Yeah.
Clear.
So the way the table reads, it's license requirement fee on top. So you would change that to certification registration fee?
Certificate of registration.
Or this has all the other dog and cat licenses.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, correct.
How about dog and cat license and certificate fees?
And I didn't include a
certificate of registration fees.
Dangerous dog.
License requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I won't change licensees, but I'll change dangerous dog certificate of registration.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially
yeah.
dangerous dog certificate of registration.
Right.
Add initial certificate of registration fee and annual renewal fee for potentially dangerous dog. I will reread this. Owner of dogs must contact him to read.
Maybe this one needs a little more thought, too, because we're adding registration to dangerous dog, but not to cat.
There's no dangerous cat.
There's no dangerous cat.
It's just the table.
Not the dangerous part, but the registration
part.
It's
in the table. That's
yeah.
what it's referring to. It's called a licensing requirement.
She's just adding that section to that table. The table includes more things than that.
Yeah, she's adding to the table. That's already there.
Right.
Yes, but what he's saying is the table itself says license requirement fee, and what Susan's proposing is a certificate of registration that is a different
process.
It's not
just a license requirement
fee. It means something different
from
the license.
Then can we just have it not being added to the table? Could it just be a separate table for certification of registration table? Another table? I mean, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. So
I think what...
I'm sorry. I'm trying to say what she's saying as well. I think what we should do is change the term license requirement fee to certification registration fee. Right?
Or certificate of registration is what she's calling it. But this is also the license fees for the other animals.
Oh.
What I would say is there's...
So changing the title of the table.
Yes, or splitting
Got
the table
it.
For
it
the
dangerous
dog.
Yeah,
because like,
have
all the ones that actually are licenses
one
all together,
but if
and then take the dangerous
table.
Dogs out and put the things that are...
Dangerous dogs should be separate now, because you're really proposing a separate process.
Yeah, I would just do a separate table.
That's what I think.
Dogs.
I think it should be a separate
right underneath this one.
And that way, if you have one, or if you know what you, it starts to be the separate process.
Same
right?
table includes facility fees, also, doesn't it?
And
wild animal fees. So
it
already includes more than dog,
a lot
cat,
and things.
So what if we just said fees?
Yeah, not fees. License fees, just fees.
Well, if it's licensing and fees, that is a fee for the certificate of
registration. Yeah, it's
yeah
yeah.
I think what you know. just being precise, it says license requirement fee at the top of the table. Maybe just change that title, and then you have all these miscellaneous.
Yeah, the table has a name, and then inside the table, it also says license requirement. And so maybe if you took that part out and it just said fee, and then, you know. Or
so what should the table be called?
Table is just like dog and cat fees.
Well, it's more than
but it's more than that.
Oh, yes, it's way more than that.
Way more than that.
It's
animal-related fees.
Animal fees.
Yeah. They've just kept adding as the we read the fees, just add them into the same table.
The title doesn't even make sense even without adding this.
Right.
Yeah.
No, so we're cleaning it up, but that's what Ariel was saying earlier, is that we probably will want to come back and visit these, you know, continually.
But can't we just call it animal fees just because it encompasses facilities and everything? Because
these are all
she said, what Susan said sounded right, animal-related fees.
Yeah.
Because there's facilities on here as well.
It's not just an animal.
We're just renaming the title. So,
yes. Right, so
we're
going to
change dangerous
fees.
Dog certification and registration, initial and renewal. Potentially dog certification of registration, initial and annual renewal. That's how we read those. But the table title will change too, and we'll change that to
animal-related
fees.
Animal-related fees.
Yeah.
Animal.
And then within that, we have the table changes, which is instead of dangerous dog license, we have dangerous dog certificate of registration, initial and renewal.
Can I see what you're looking at? Just do you mind?
Yeah.
Just so I know. Oh. So what are you proposing?
That's up here, called the title of the table, dog and cat
fees.
Animal-related fees.
Yeah.
And then this license requirement fee. I don't even know if we need that at all. Because they're all different things in there.
So just a wild animal fee is not a dog and cat fee.
No,
I mean,
just change the title. She's saying,
because you could say, like, dog license. Instead of putting license, because the only things that are license, because see, they start as licenses, but then they get into all these other
kennels, groomers.
Well, these are technically
licenses. Facility licenses.
Yeah. So
they're licenses, just different kinds.
Yeah, so I think maybe this one needs to be like animal related licenses and then take the dangerous dog
license requirement. I think it's your license, it's the requirement that you have. You look up the requirement and the fee over here. Like, they're two different columns.
Yeah.
It's not
this
one.
Is the license.
It's not a title.
This is the license.
This isn't a title.
Right.
This is one column and the next column.
Right.
They're just
squished together.
They're squished together so it looks like a title.
I wonder if we turned it, if it would do anything.
One is the license requirement. They just did one tab over.
can we just approve this language with adding certificate of registration where we noted it, and then we'll bring this back in January to update the table.
Make it a little clearer.
To just be more specific and clear at that time. Would that work?
Mm-hmm.
That
way we can read it in with the updated title.
We can get the changes added in so it can go into effect, and then we can deal with trying to...
It's organized later. Would you like me to read it in with the updated title?
Yes, certificate of registration.
And would you like me to read it in with the animal-related fees as the new
table? Do we need
table.
To have it read in again? Can we... Just say that where registration occurred, we'll say certificate of registration?
No, she was talking about changing the title, and that's what you want to hold off till January.
Yeah, let's save that
I'm
part.
She wants to save this till January, but we can come back to that in January.
And we can look at it in January more holistically. And
then decide whether we want to make multiple tables or one table.
We can get this actually
and make it a little more user-friendly maybe then.
Certainly.
Just come back to that and just approve this part for right now, because that gets it on there. I think that's what you're saying.
I think, yes, let's get the potentially dog fees and the certificate of registration in place and then come back and deal with the fact that it's not clear.
Yeah, and then we can reorganize later.
Okay.
Susan's team will make it clear to people in the meantime, I'm sure.
All right.
Because, Susan, that's really your intent here. You want to raise the fees, and you want to add potentially dangerous talk.
Yeah.
That's really what
you want. That's correct.
Yeah.
So and we've changed the term license to certificate of registration in the case of the
that gets your things
dangerous and potentially dangerous. So now the table encompasses more than just licenses. It now has.
Does anybody want Ariel to read it all again?
No.
No. Okay.
I think we're all clear.
Are we ready for promotion?
Because technically, the reason we read it is so that we're all really clear we're on the same page. That's why we bring a motion, we read it, and we vote on it. So just so we're totally clear, it's how I read it. We're just updating that where I said registration, it's certification of registration.
Certificate of registration.
Yes. The table title, we are not changing. It's going to say dog and cat license fees.
We'll deal with that. We'll discuss updating
our table in January.
Yes. Right.
We're going to table that discussion. Okay.
Right.
So any further discussion on this matter?
Somebody tag her out.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes.
Okay. I want this paper back. This time I'm not lying. It really is the last one. 8.18.070, Section 1C. Increase the fine for unlicensed animals to $250 on the first offense, $350 for the second, and $450 for the third. Licensing is the single most important ticket that our department writes, and it should be reflected in our fine table. There is a way out of the larger fine. Buy a license, and the penalty is automatically dismissed for the first offenses. Incentives for licensing. Add reinspection fees for all necessary second and subsequent inspections, facility, wild animal, and dangerous dogs. Cost of services to be determined.
And that one's that's separate from.
Yeah, we don't even know where that adds to.
That's more of a general.
That's not supposed to be under this 8.18.
No, it's not.
It didn't seem like it fit there.
It's more of a general push to charge fees for services, so we are recovering our costs.
Maybe that's a January conversation.
We'll
just forget I said that. We'll come back to that in January. So right now we're just talking about increasing the fine for unlicensed animals to $250 for the first offense, $350 for the second, and $450 for the third. And they can have it dismissed if it's their first offense if they license right away.
That's correct.
That's the basic overview.
So the first offense
right away.
It's currently 10 days.
10 days?
Okay. From issuance of the ticket. Oh. And this was a recommendation from the subcommittee as well.
So it'll go from $100 for the first offense to $250, and then from $200 to $350, and then $400 to $450.
Well, if they haven't figured it out by the third time,
this is a problem. We've had that happen.
Yeah, I know.
Bring a motion. There doesn't seem to be any discussion
on this?
No. Okay, 08.19.070, Section 1C, increase fines for unlicensed animals to $250 for first offense, $350 for second, and $450 for third. Any discussion on this topic?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
We got through all of that.
Susan, there's an asterisk on that first offense. What, do you know why there's an asterisk? It says $100.
Because of that, it will be dismissed
if you get your pet license.
If you license within 10 days. That is why.
It's kind of like driving with a Spartan
blade. So that way you can maybe even look at it in January if you're still looking at asterisk.
Okay, so we have a lot of things to come back to in January.
Yeah.
But we finished the majority of it, so that was great.
Thank you. That's good work.
Yes. We were a good team. So we just need to hear about shelter updates, if you know anything, and your updates.
You skipped the subcommittee.
Yeah.
Oh, did I skip
and
one?
I'm going to count ballots while the subcommittee. Will
okay, finish. The subcommittee update. I'm sorry, I missed
well,
that whole line.
Whatever. Just summarize the last meeting, probably.
I missed the whole line, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, we are looking at various things. One of the things that we've done is contacted Multnomah County and also Banfield Veterinary, a clinic in Portland in Multnomah County as well, to look at what they are doing around their requirement of rabies as it relates to licensing and how they're connecting that. We still need to gather more information. We're waiting for some callbacks and things to get some actual numbers. So other than that, we're working on that, and it's probably close to having, by next time we'll have more clarity around the licensing and rabies tie-in that's written into our code now, or that we're proposing, so that when we look at the code next time, we should have the background information related to that code that we talked about.
Well, the biggest barrier right now with any change is the MIS systems don't support efficient handling of licensing, and that's 80% of the problem. In trying to extend it to other businesses to try and have them help be enforcers. So the county has someone from within the county who's doing an evaluation of those systems. And I don't know when those recommendations are supposed to be given to the city council, but when is she supposed to finish with her review?
She's reviewing all of the programs in community development. We're just one of them, so.
Okay. So it could be a while.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think we're at the tail end, though.
Okay.
So I would think by year's end.
So that would look like something perhaps like a cloud-based system, and if that could be customized to connect to, say, Banfield's Petware or something like that, where we could pull the rabies information automatically, where the veterinarians had, you know, basically on no administration time, Banfield, would they be happy to take the $5 fee if it was easy? And again, I still need to hear back and have more conversation with their headquarters in Vancouver, but because they're doing some of that in Multnomah County, they said they're not actually getting any money for doing any licensing, so they don't actually do the licensing there. But if they were getting a $5 fee and it was very low administrative on their side, they'd really look at that seriously. So with the county looking at this technology solution, that could be a way that it becomes both easy and a revenue generator for veterinarians. So that was one thing we looked at. And you also had just talked to several veterinarians here in Clark County as well.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question on that. Is that $5 something that's in our bylaws? Where is that $5 written?
The $5 licensing fee that you give to
licensing. That's in the code.
Yeah. So is that something we could increase?
Be a code change.
To recommend that.
Could
we?
You could, but it defeats part of their purpose, because part of their purpose is to increase their licensing revenue, and if you're taking part of that and giving it away, you're defeating part of the purpose.
Oh, is it coming out of the... Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was on top of...
I mean, you could do that, though. You could increase the licensure fees by whatever amount you added to it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was that plus, like for the benefit of being able to license at your vet, you're going to pay an additional $5.
Well, that's really like licensing your car. If you license it through the county, you pay whatever you pay. But if you go to a subagent, you pay an extra fee.
Yes, you do.
So it wouldn't be any different.
Yeah, it works the exact same way.
It would be the same exact thing.
Yeah,
it just isn't that way currently.
No, but
it could be.
But it could be.
And I think the barrier for bigger systems that would have probably a lot of rabies and potential licensing is just the technology solution. So that's...
I like the technology
solution. To get to
solution,
the business case for that, to be able to present that, we really need to have this review and recommendation about the technology solution for the animal control. And then we can look at how that could be tied into custom systems, for example, like Banfield, who has several locations.
You might feel differently.
Well, Banfield has the same system in every place.
Yes.
Right. Every other veterinarian has
a different.
A lot of vets use Cornerstone, but not all of them. A lot of vets use another system, but not everybody. And so then you're talking about 18 different software management systems all trying to hook into the county's. Now, if you're going to require them to do that, yes, then you have to be able to get them to all hook in. Yep. If you're not going to require them all, then you're going to have some people doing it on paper and some people doing it online. And
it's a conundrum.
One of the interesting points that the Portland Banfield mentioned was they actually do have conversations that do take a little bit of time on licensing with their folks that get the rabies vaccination, which was interesting that they were taking that time, but they didn't obviously go all the way to the licensing fee because there was no reason to do that and there was no communication between the systems. So I think that that's something that Clark County and this board could look at as a possibility again to connect the code to revenue generation for clinics and make it a more seamless system. But it might be something that's not really done in other places too much yet, as far as we've been able to find. So I think that that's an opportunity here.
Well, the initial licensing, that $5, would only have to be done once if the owner the next year renews by mail.
Right.
Or online themselves.
Yeah, or online.
And I think it's just the idea of capturing, if you're doing that 6 months rabies vax on that new young puppy or kitten, then that initial licensing fee, it would be nice if it was just automatic. You do it, it goes into the system, it's pulled in a report, and then the clinic gets the check for their licensing fees, and the county gets the information and the full licensing revenue. So that would be the ideal world that I think we could get to.
I like that seamless idea of it. I think there'd be more buy-in it was so seamless.
I think that that's something that when you were talking about kind of how we could influence.
But I like the idea that we're thinking about getting there, right?
Technology seems to be the biggest barrier.
It does seem to be the biggest barrier.
And that's what we were talking about quite a bit in the last subcommittee, was just that that's the key. And then from there, you kind of, then there's possibilities and a business case and education and all of that kind of awareness could be done much more easily, because it does sound like initially more research to be done, that veterinarians, if it were simple, would welcome additional revenue that they're basically,
you got to have a solid foundation before you build the building.
Yeah. So we're going to offer them something, right. But so that was one of the things that took up kind of our subcommittee focus this last time, and we're working on that, waiting for people to call back and give us more information, looking for numbers from Multnomah County on how many dogs and cats that the shelters send this way, how many end up in Clark County. I think Courtney's working on that, and I'm wanting to hear more about the numbers, too, on how many dogs and cats are given rabies vaccinations at 6 months and how many are in renewal, so that you have an idea of what numbers we're talking about. So when we get that together, too, and we start to have more information on the technology side, we'll have the foundations and elements of a business case. So.
Okay. Thank you. It sounds like you guys have done a lot of work.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks. It's great. Susan.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, subcommittee. Okay. Updates. So Lisa with the Humane Society regretfully could not attend the meeting tonight, but she did pass on some information for me to share with the board as far as updates at the shelter. So she gave me the September statistics.
She's going to talk about the shelter first.
And can pass those around, and I can also email those out to the board if you're interested.
Yeah, I think we like to have those.
Okay. And she said, as far as highlights, nothing specific to update everyone on, other than the fact that they're still inundated with cats and kittens, as they have been all summer. That big seizure we had last week didn't help the situation, unfortunately, where we had 20-some cats that we seized from a ne'er-do-well.
Have they brought in animals from outside? Any transports?
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, it's usually on the stat sheet.
Oh, transports on the, yeah. Okay. Let me see here. Is that you? Oh, transfer in. Let's see, total year to date transferred in for 2019 is 1,199 total animals. Mostly dogs, though.
Mostly dogs?
Yeah. Transfer cats for 2019 so far is 116 cats.
That's still a lot.
It is. Let's see. For September, stray dogs, they took in 119. Stray cats for September, 287. And other types of animals, 30. For total strays coming in, 436 in September. So the total for this year, stray animals taken into the shelters, 3,236. Let's see, compared with the same time last year, they brought in 2,905 strays total, so that's an increase of 241, more than the same time last year. And let's see, owner relinquish. Well, this is good news. So year to date in 2019, the total relinquishment by owners is way down, 499 this year. Same time last year, they'd had 737 owner surrenders. So that's really great. Any other key stats that, let's see, for adoptions. Total adoptions at this point for 2019, 3,743. Same time last year was almost identical, 3,730. So just 13 more this year, this time. And this was through September, of course. And let's see, redemptions. They've had more redemptions this year. Total redemptions 748. Same time last year 698. Pets redeemed. Euthanasia has decreased compared to the same time last year. 369 animals have been euthanized at this time this year compared with last year, 424. So it's a decrease of 15%.
Do you know, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but if one of your officers picks up a raccoon and they take it to the shelter, it gets euthanized. Is that counted in the euthanasia, or do they only count domestic animals in there? Do you know?
That's a good question.
They have a category for other in their stats for euthanasia.
That's probably where the raccoons would go then.
I don't know if that's other domestic or also includes wild.
I think it's other
all
animals, like raccoons.
That's what I'm thinking.
Anything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So the regular number is just the domestic dogs and cats. Or maybe a bunny or
so specifically for something. This year so far, for euthanasia, 92 dogs, and this is shelter animals. This is not euthanasia by request. This is separated out. 92 dogs, 198 cats, 79 other animals for this year so far. Let's see. They list transfers, euthanasia by request, return to field. So the community cat program is going strong.
Good.
I don't know how much you know about that, but it looks like year to date, 137 community cats have gone out to back to the field compared with last year the same time, only 87. So that's 50 more
kitties.
That's
good.
And they're looking at a live release rate so far this year. Dogs 96.6%, cats 91.4%. Combined live release rate this year 94.2%. That's up from same period last year, which was 93.5% live release rate. And other notes of interest, population factors, average length of stay at the shelter for a dog so far this year is 10 days, puppies 6 days, cats 16 days, kittens 8 days. Average in-care count for dogs this year, the average in-care count is low of 89, high of 120. For puppies, low of 14, high of 29. For cats, low of 110, high of 138. And for kittens, a whopping low of 148 and a high of 187 kittens in care.
It's been a busy summer.
Total animals in care, low 380 and high 463. And that is up 19% from the same time last year. So that's a significant number.
I was going to say someone might want to check. I don't think our thing is up on 3 hours.
Oh, it's still going.
Recorder check, it's still running. And let's see here. Any other specific stats anybody's looking for?
No, I think no.
Good there? Okay. I will email those out.
In the future, maybe send those when we get like our agenda.
Okay.
It's nice to have those so we if we have any questions we can.
Okay, sounds good. And I didn't even have these until I asked her if she had anything she wanted to share.
That'd be great.
Cool. Okay. Shelter stats. And I had sent out stats a while back for first half of 2019 for animal protection and control. I did not bring copies again tonight. Did anybody have any questions about that? Just of note on those, the information for pet licensing is not accurate on those. It's only partial information. So at this point, we are still processing agent licensing fees. So we are up through, I think, May at this point. So that table did not reflect April or May, and maybe not even March. So the numbers are not as dismal as it looked.
Oh, okay, because I looked at those numbers and I thought they were pretty dismal.
They're better.
Okay.
They're better than...
Okay.
What is it that makes us have such a lag in being and getting those numbers in? Because we've been fully staffed for a while. Is that right?
It's a combination of things. So while that position, licensing OA, was vacant, no one was doing the work. And so when she started, there was a big backlog. And she started that new job and has been having to learn the job, essentially. And also during that time, we switched financial software. So she's had to learn a brand new financial system as well as all the other duties that she's responsible for. So it's, and it's an undersourced position, under-resourced position anyway. So she really does the work of probably 1.5 FTEs. And there just has not been a chance to get caught up. So we have a temp in place right now. We had a temp for the last couple months last year to try to get caught up on the revenue piece before deadlines for the finance department. This year we got a temp in sooner to help with the catch up on finances through kind of the close of 2019 fiscal deadlines. So
I have kind of two questions. Are we going to have them in before the end of the year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So well, by the fiscal deadlines. And maybe not by the end of December, but we'll have them all in
by
the time we're required to turn it all in.
Okay. And then if someone is, when these numbers aren't updated, if someone is sending in their paper, if it's being done by paper and they send you a check, mm-hmm. and that's going in the mail to you. Mm-hmm. Is the mail being opened and the check clearing?
Yes.
Or is that sort of sitting in
we're required to
mail?
Process checks okay. within 24 hours.
Okay, so it's not like that's not being...
No. Okay. It's okay. That, yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's just that some things aren't getting documented in this part, you know.
Right.
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 It's all these different systems have to be manually updated, and then the systems... kind of
other
talk,
systems.
Talk to each
okay.
other.
Okay, so other things aren't...
What's the sort of like breakdown between how many new licenses and renewal licenses? Because you're taking in the money for new licenses and the renewals are going through Seattle. So you've got two different
we
systems.
We get some directly, but a lot go through the Seattle.
So do you get more new licenses or do you get... Or there is it more renewals? Which, or is it pretty much half and half?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I'd have to run a report.
Okay.
I haven't run a report for that.
Wondered how
that's a good question because that would be good information for the
yeah.
subcommittee.
Actually, a really good
subcommittee.
Question.
Yeah. Especially for dogs and
places.
Cats both.
Mm-hmm. I'll add that to my to-do list.
Okay. Round table. I don't have anything. Holly, any events coming up?
No, our big one, it will be in May. Yeah, we're still just dealing with kittens. It was like, it felt like a couple of years, like, oh, we're making progress with spay and neuter in the area. It seems like it's doing really good. And then this year, it's like,
year.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been crazy. And we've had to put a sort of a pause on our spay-neuter program just because we have such a huge backlog because we have so many fewer vet appointments available. So it's just been dealing with lots of stuff. But keeping up on things.
Nothing Sorry? For me.
Nothing?
Nothing for me.
Nada.
Nothing. Thank you.
What a quiet group.
I was just going to add before I announce the chair and co-chair elections results. We did get the only animal shelter response to our request for proposals was from the Humane Society, as expected.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be moving into contract negotiations with them coming up early in the next month to get that all worked out by the first of next year to have a brand new and improved contract in place. Anticipate it will be for a 5-year contract with the ability to renew, I think, for three different times just because they're kind of the only game in town.
Yeah.
And to save some processing work for all of us. Have an RFP out in the community for after-hours emergency veterinary services. We have not had a contract in place for some time. I don't know if ever. I don't know. If
well,
one
we
of
had
the
critter getter, but he got.
Well,
old.
This is for veterinary.
That wasn't
for veterinary.
Yeah. Oh,
so
for
like,
veterinary.
Because remember, we did the RFP before, and we chose no one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And I wasn't sure of the background. I wasn't sure why no one had been negotiated with for that.
Well. The one vet that applied, we had some reservations about them because there were problems in their past with with the vet boards and things.
I see.
So that had been fairly recent. So we're like, didn't feel very comfortable.
Okay. And it's been out for a while, and we have not received any respondents for that. So if we don't get any respondents, I'm not sure what the next step is. It'll be interesting to see. But it's problematic to be functioning without a contract in place with somebody because we're kind of at the mercy of any vet that takes animals in overnight and then calls us to go get them and charges for whatever they decide to do. So
there just aren't a lot of options.
There are not.
Mm-hmm.
Not a
That's
lot. But we need a contract in place so that we can have a little more control over how we're spending the taxpayers' money. We're concerned about that.
I can't really think of any other updates other than the annual discount spay and neuter grant that this group recommended be awarded to the Humane Society and Second Chance Companions is in kind of the final stages of being approved and checks issued. So
get that out. Take care more of those cats.
Get that out very soon.
Well, we need more vets.
that's what I'm hearing too.
Yeah, the vet shortage is.
Vet shortage, and it's getting more and more expensive all the time too. So that's all I had.
Anything else?
No, you didn't have anything?
Okay. All right. I guess that's it for that. Are you?
Is there anything else on the agenda?
No, roundtable was the end. We have the appeals, but.
Okay. And so without further ado, the election for chair and co-chair, I tallied the votes. With 9 votes, Pat was elected as the chair. And with slightly fewer votes, Ariel was elected as the co-chair.
We'll be a good team.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you for your future work.
Yes. Thank you all for being on the board. So this will be the end of this year, and so we'll see you in 2020. So our next meeting is January 23rd, same time, same place.
That is correct.
You can turn it off.
That will end the official
meeting.
Yeah.